You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists from all over the world. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. Please search for Fakeologist Audio Chat and Fakeologist Main Show on your favorite podcast app. To listen to the live stream, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. Now, on with the audio chat.
Hello, everybody. Listening and not listening. If you're not listening, you should be listening. And if you're listening, you know you are part of the resistance, as Garris called it.
What? What am I a part of?
You're an unwilling participant of this resistance.
Oh, no.
we were talking about coincidences and how that affects us and how we look at the world. So please explain.
That's a coincidence because I was just talking in the other room about coincidences.
Yeah, me too. It's
what?
A crazy
no,
coincidence.
No, you're kidding me. Oh man, that's unbelievable. You're probably lying. Are you sure? Are you telling the truth?
I do believe in coincidence because it's like luck. It happened. It's like it's a coincidence. It to me is a random event, so it can happen, of course.
I don't really believe in random, so that's kind of the problem with it too. You know, for me, at least, I don't believe there's such a thing as random.
But how do you define random?
It's kind of like a probability. Like there's an equalness of probability, or an equalness of possibility, maybe that in a true random, that it would be as demonstrated by, like, I don't know, like rolling some dice or something like that. There's an equal chance that it would always be the same number as there is of it being any other number. You know, if it's truly random, then there's no reason it couldn't always be, like the lottery balls or something. It could always be all fives. You know, if it's random, there's no less likelihood that it would not be, you know.
Yes,
and there's no way to disprove it. How do you?
I mean. Let's say you go hiking in the middle of the Sahara or the Amazon rainforest or wherever, and you meet your neighbor there. It's pretty coincidental, right?
It's
if you don't know if he's going there the same day and whatever, I mean.
But maybe it's not a coincidence because when they both go to work, they see the same ad for the same trip, you know.
Or maybe there's more going on than is what's within our ability to like causally untangle. You know what I mean? Like we have a pretty limited perspective, and that's true for everything. So it kind of takes the piss out of talking about anything. But to the extent that that coincidence is one is like. I don't know. I don't know that. Another thing about coincidence is that it often collapses into meaninglessness, or meaninglessness when you try to define it. You know what I mean? It's like, is there anything? Either it's almost like, what isn't a coincidence? If you do believe in coincidence, what isn't one? You know?
And how many coincidences do you need to call something a trend?
But yeah, well, like, what's even the opposite of the coincidence? Or what is it? Not that everything has to happen. If it's not a coincidence,
we're predefined.
Predefined. I don't. Is it? But anything can be predefined. Like, where does that begin and end too? Like, where's the great chain of causality?
I would say that it's really hard to establish a real coincidence because the thing is that you can say that you meet your friend at a random place, but it's not a random place because if the guy is your friend, it's because you have the same interest. So. You could meet him at 3 o'clock at a food shop, you know, because you know that you are friends because you like to go out at night and things like that. So the randomness is really hard to establish, I think. If you take one particular example,
and it also descends into like this our like the the arbitration of the person gets, is, you know, you're the decider of what gets to be a coincidence or not, or, you know what I mean? Like, how, why do I get to decide whether or not my neighbor was there as a result of a coincidence? What he doesn't have any say in it at all? Or is it just me who gets to decide? You know what I mean? Like, or do we have to come to some collective agreement on whether or not he and I have to, you know, decide whether it's a coincidence?
Yeah, and who defines the collective, and how many people do you need to form a collective, and
go back to the very, you know, back to the prime mover, all the way back to the beginning, you know.
Yeah.
Who made the commercial, who, you know, yeah. So I think
Exactly.
Because things, kind of circular reasoning, but things happen because it's impossible for them not to have happened. You know what I mean? Like, I met him in the desert because the desert's where I was, and that's where he was, too. And it, you know, it was impossible for this not to have happened. So, like, it falls in line with this idea of accidents and stuff too. Like, what is an accident? Like, you know, like, we would say you broke the window because you threw the ball in the house. Well, is that really why, or is the reason the window broke because the ball hit the window, right? Well, sometimes the ball can hit the window and the window won't break, right? So there's all these variables here that don't even get considered, much less tested. You know what I mean? Before we just kind of blindly throw out that, you know, X caused Y. But, you know, do we really know? Do we really believe?
Actually, I mean, this is what science is based on. It's trying to look for patterns and trying to strip away the, let's say, accidental variables. I mean, if not, we would be just sitting and just consuming everything, but every part of our life is relying on patterns and trends and non-accidental or non-coincidental stuff, right?
Yeah. I mean, we're not... Where did the accidents begin and end? And it gets into free will, it gets into everything, but... Where do the accidents begin, and where does responsibility, quote unquote, so-called responsibility, where does that begin? Where does choice begin? Where does it end? What are the limits of liability? Where is responsibility really? You know, is responsibility for anything something that can be shared? Is it the only thing in the world that can be shared? Like, what does it even mean? I don't know.
We can also look at the etymology of the world. Coincidence, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What's your word in Swiss? What is the French or the Swiss word? Yeah, go ahead. In English, that's what you're going to first.
In French, it's coincidence, so it's the same.
In
what
Spanish,
a coincidence! What a coincidence! It's the same.
Well, okay. I will give you a less coincidental word then. In Spanish it's coincidencia, but in Dutch it is toevalligheid. or in German, zufälligkeit. And toeval is funny because it's two means in Dutch it means towards two. Like two in English, and val means fall, so it's falling towards something. To val.
Oh yeah, that is interesting.
So a coincidence is not exactly what we tend to think it is. It's just things happening in conjunction to make one event.
So a concert. So like you go to see a piece of music performed by an orchestra. It would meet when they're playing the Moonlight Sonata, that's the coincidence, according to the definition, or no?
It's kind
of if you know how to play the piano, it's pretty hard to play those keys as a coincidence, right? I mean, it's a very, especially the third part, is a very difficult piece to play. It's beautiful, but...
What it means, he said, you know, if the definition is like what was it mean? Things happening, what cares?
Well, I think if you push the keys long enough, maybe one time you will make a melody, of course.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, you need quite a lot of paint in randomness to paint the Mona Lisa or whatever other painting, right?
Has it ever? You know, that's another one. It's like the same thing. Yeah, like the monkeys and the typewriter or something. Why don't we test that? Why don't we just try to test that? You know, anybody ever seen that happen? Anybody ever seen the? You know, how much paint exactly does it take to throw randomly at the canvas and get the Mona Lisa? We can. There's a lot of paint out there. It's not that expensive. I haven't seen them testing that at CERN.
Not anymore, but in the time when allegedly Da Vinci painted it, paint was pretty expensive, right?
Yeah, who knows?
Well, I don't think there is one people alone that did all those paintings.
I find it very interesting because if you look at what Da Vinci and his buddies, or his, not so much buddy, but his enemies actually, but the Michelangelos and Leonardos and so produced, it stands out so incredibly much from what was produced in those days, right?
And it also happened in conjunction also.
What do you mean by conjunction?
It's like from a specific geographical region and a specific kind of people, you know? Like you had some kind of team of experts that reign over one discipline at a certain time. And then you get another team of experts that kind of take the market over. And I don't see it as a lonely enterprise.
Well, what is, right? I mean, what really is,
Yes, it's like a record, you know. Maybe somebody wrote and recorded the whole song, but then again, they got the marketing guys.
Invent the fucking record either. You know, they didn't invent the record or the recording process itself.
Exactly.
Right? Exactly. I mean, the whole history, even if we can disagree about history books, but the whole history and present as well, it's all about copying others, right?
Yeah. Modeling. Humans learn from the model. I mean,
Yes, I think so, and I think the better copy win, or the better marketed copy wins in the end.
Yeah, well, it's like it's really like a simulation. You know, like we try to, you know, simulate the child observes the parent and then kind of simulates the parent's behavior or actions or whatever, you know, to the extent that it can. Like, you can say, copies one word for it, but I think simulates in a lot of ways a better word.
It's like similar emulate, right?
Right, exactly. Like, you know, there's some things that a child can do, has the capacity for. I mean, but we all have the capacity for, like, emulating. We all have that capacity.
Yes, but only for basic tasks.
I don't know. I don't know if that's true. What do you mean, like,
I can show you in 10 minutes or to do a basic cooking recipe, but it would take me more than 10 minutes to show you or to do some things on a computer. I mean by that there is something that are more instinctive for humans, you know, like manipulating natural produce and all that. And if you look at me operating on the screen, it will be difficult for you to register the information. But if you see me cook one meal one time, you will learn it quickly, I think.
Yeah, well, you also kind of start from there's just a lot of presuppositions, but I think I know what you're saying. There's a kind of a graduated process too, right? There's an order of or hierarchy of processes, right? So you can't do the thing that you don't know how to do. You can't do the fifth stage of, or step until you know how to do the first step, right? You can't just jump off into it. So
people have a hard time with the computers and the mobile phone and all that because they are not having the operating system, if I can say, for those kind of things.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Their BIOS has kind of it's not the optimization that is required to pick up something new that's so foreign if indeed it's that foreign, you know, like that there's, and there's no, like the institutions that required to like support that kind of total kind of transformation of thinking and hands-on application don't really exist. There's no like graduating training wheels kind of program to get grandpa up to speed with the damn computer, you know, or not even grandpa, just mom.
Yeah, and it's also the number of variables, right? So it's easier to, if you know already a certain type, amount of variables, it's much easier to go to the next step than if you have to manage all the variables. I mean, like learning a language, I mean, for us, it's almost impossible to learn Japanese or so, right? I mean, Japanese is considered one of the hardest languages to learn for non-Japanese speakers, because there are so many variables, right?
But you know what's so amazing? Even a mentally, even the most mentally retarded Japanese person who still has the capacity for speech can learn it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Learn it like nothing. And then, how amazing is it, you know? Language, it's amazing.
Yes, it's crazy that if you take a child and you drop him or her, whatever you want in the world, you will learn the language anyway. It's crazy that genetics don't even come in play into the language acquisition. Mostly,
no.
Because you can be too retarded, of course, to learn any language.
Because it doesn't have anything really to do with it. Like, you know, like there's not like you need to have some proto-African tongue split in order to, like...
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
And that's why English and Spanish are the world languages. Sorry, French speakers, but French is much harder than Spanish.
What about them Chinese people?
No, I don't think so. I think the
oh, yes, it is.
Of European language to learn is German.
No, man.
Italian and
no.
You can try French.
I mean, I think it all applies. I think it's a matter of perspective where it's like hard.
No, it's not perspective.
The retarded Japanese child could just as well be the retarded German child, and it learns the language just the same.
I mean, you have language groups and so, and it is much easier to learn the simpler language of that language group than to learn the harder language. I mean, German is much easier to learn than Dutch. Spanish is much easier to learn than French.
What about Esperanto?
Yeah, that was a nice effort by this Polish, what was it, doctor?
The one thing, the global language, I can't remember.
Zamenhof, was it?
And if we have any retarded children that listen and he or she can speak both two languages or more, I will be more than interesting to discuss that.
Yeah. If you are listening, retarded children who speak two languages or more, please join the Discord.
I'm borderline mentally retarded.
But yeah, language acquisition is something really interesting because it relies on the schools, but also on the parents. Because here in the Switzerland, we have many foreigners. And most children speak both language very, very good, without any issue.
Language acquisition relies entirely on the parents, or like the primary caregivers, or some, depending on, you know, their situation. But for sure, like the amount of community, if you like, one of the worst things you can, just a cruel thing to do to an infant or whatever is to not communicate with them. I mean, you're going to really fuck your world up.
Yeah. Well, actually, that is part of the reason why the present situation is there as it is, right?
This is what they used to think, that autism, they called it, they used to say that autism was caused by something called frigid mothering. I'm not so sure that they're, I'm not so sure that that's not still accurate. But yeah, like autism marked by a, often by a difficulty in communicating and expression, and then also the reduction in language and emotion.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have words for your feelings. Oh, it's tough. You know, real dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, and emotions and feelings are human, and in general, they are being suppressed, either by chemicals or by speech, by social pressure, or whatever.
Or thought. But, all this goddamn thinking everyone's doing all the time. You know, it seems like they're not thinking. Mm-hmm. They're just riddled with internal anxiety and self-examination. You know, how do I appear before the crowd? How do am I, you know...
Yeah, reflection, yeah. Really.
Why didn't I receive this cue that when I gave this other cue? You know, this dialogue just crushes, emotion. And emotion is really the seat of the soul.
Yeah, very much, yeah. Yeah, and I think
I think it's what?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because, I mean, if you take it in a really... If you take a photo of society, let's say, and then turn it into not a grayscale, but a black and white contrast, high contrast thing. Then, if you look at it, I see it as two big parts: the psychopath and the autist. And both of them, they are very different, but they share one thing. They have one thing in common, and that is the lack of self-reflection and emotion and empathy and so on. And
it's like a Venn diagram, then, with the...
Yeah, and I think that is what many people in the conspiracy sphere, let's say, are looking at, is this kind of split, which is maybe not there really so hard as a black and white picture, but there is a certain division of the ruling psychopath and the following artist.
There's plenty of psychopaths that are ruling too.
Can you repeat, please? Sorry. Can you repeat? You broke up.
In the per level, presented as being at the top of the hierarchy all the time, but really they permeate every level of every part of the social strata.
Mm-hmm.
They're not strictly at the top. They're everywhere.
Yeah, but I think psychopathy drives people towards a top, if there is any, but
it might be the top of the tyranny of the personal relationship. You know what I mean? It's not necessarily the corporate hierarchy.
I think there are people with limited intellectual capacity that are psychopaths also.
Of course, yeah, oh no, very much. Yeah.
And those ones cannot ascend the ladder of society.
Mm-hmm.
They can't brute force can't account for everything, right? But there's some that can, some that can't, but they'll dominate, you know, they'll pervert whatever social circle they're in, whichever they manage to infect.
Yes, but I think also that it's the modern society. You cannot blame everything on society, but it's also the fact that society tend to make you take position on everything, and we are not supposed to do that, you know? We are not supposed to be... No, you cannot.
I mean, you're the product. You know, if the product comes out defective, was it who do you blame? The producer or the product itself?
Or the vendor?
Yeah, what the vendor do to it? He just sold it to your ass. Why'd you buy it? Yeah,
but that would eliminate free will. I mean, I think.
Well, yeah, but I don't necessarily believe in free will at all. Not that I'm right about that.
Well, I think we are all presented with a set of choice, and we take the wrong or the good one. No? It's like you are drunk and you want to drive. I don't know if you understand what I want to say. It's like you are drunk and you want to drive. It's like you are the alcohol that is pushing you to drive, but then again, you are yourself. You know well enough that you should not drive. So if you do it anyway, you cannot blame it on the alcohol.
So you're saying that French people don't have free will?
many people don't have free will in that case. No, I mean to say that your free will is impaired by society, but it's not erased. You still have your free will in a sort of way, of course, because there is some things that you cannot go past. I mean, I can be a hardcore militant anti-abortion, and I still pay my taxes, and my taxes finance abortion in the end.
Sorry, what?
I was saying that I can be a hardcore anti-abortion militant and pay in my taxes that will still finance abortion program.
Yeah.
So I get free will. Of course, society is impairing my free will, but it's not totally destroying it, you know? It's mostly a financial choice, if you really think on it, because it's like we all know that most clothes are fabricated by slaves. I think you agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
Or kind of slave, or people that don't have a decent living by the way of their work. So the thing is that we all know that, and we choose to buy cheap clothes anyway because it's a financial choice, you know? If you want to spend money on the ethic clothing, that is not ethic anyway, but it will comfort you somehow.
I couldn't hear what you guys were saying. You said something about drunk driving, right? And you make the choice, and then it was like, then my perception went all true.
Yes, I was saying also, I was making the point about the clothes. The fact that the clothes are mostly built by slaves, or people we can consider slaves, or something like that. And the fact is that we all make choice to buy cheap clothing anyway because it's cheap. It's a financial choice.
Yeah,
you know?
Maybe, I think all the clothing is probably made by slaves.
Oh, I'm sorry?
All clothing is probably made by slaves, really. Just
yes, probably.
But they don't choose to be slaves or something? Is that like the part of the choice thing, choice theory? Like they don't choose to be slaves? Or do they?
I
don't necessarily believe anyone would choose it. I mean,
The thing is that if you get a government that is ruling a country, a land, a territory, if you want to, and that this government edicts rules, like I will take an example. It's not like the better example, but it's the one I choose. It's like the government say that I cannot sell drugs. In front of the building I live in because it's illegal. Okay, I see no problem in that. But then again, the government is supposed to supply me with another way of living, you know? And if the other way of living is working in a toxic factory, building clothes for a cheap salary, I think there is a problem there, you know?
Yeah, well, you always have the choice to become a diamond miner.
You know, you always have the choice to kill yourself, is basically what it breaks down. You know? This is like the lesson of the Nuremberg is that you should just kill yourself if you're presented with a difficult choice. But like, I don't know about the slave stuff, but to the point of like drunk driving, is it wrong because it's legal? I mean, is that why drinking and driving is wrong? Is that why 0.0 is some arbitrarily defined number? It's not really the matter because it's ultimately I've just pushed to whether everything illegal is wrong to do. And if it's always a choice and some scenario where all laws restrict all choice.
But that is the choice you make between what you consider right or wrong, between moral, scientific, in a sense that as a drunk driver you have a higher chance of killing someone else or hurting someone else, or if it's legal.
Is that true, though? Do you have a higher chance of killing someone else? See, these are all like...
I don't think so. I don't think there is a higher chance. The thing is that...
There is. It's, come on.
But not if there's someone else in the room.
I mean, you are less sharp to react to what is happening around you.
No,
so you have a higher chance of killing people.
What if the person you hit on the road is also drunk?
Alcoholic.
What if you get an accident because you're drunk, but the person you hit is also drunk? What now? What?
Well, I think there's
a multiplication of risk. Then you go into legal. Then you're stepping across the line, right? I mean, it's moral, scientific, and legal are three different ways to approach reality, right?
Who gets to choose?
I think the only one that matters is the moral one. The moral one will say that if you know that you are drunk and you choose to drive, you know that your faculties are impaired. And it did not matter if there is a more scientific chance that you kill someone or not. It don't matter.
It doesn't. You're right. Because
the fact is that you are drunk and you choose to drive. You can have zero chance of having an accident. It doesn't matter. You are drunk and you choose to drive. Zero chance does not apply, of course. But if there is only 1% that chance, and or even less, that you are hitting someone with your car, the thing is that if it does happen, you cannot say that you were at 100% functional.
You can't say that for a lot of things, right? But beyond that, what if you're driving because you're it's some kind of terrible imperative emergency that you get this person to the hospital? You know what I mean? I'm not trying to make this goddamn Gordian knot here, but it's like it gets into many different possibilities and that increase the probabilities and decrease them. And ultimately, what we're really talking about is choice and free will and, because a lot of this stuff always backs up into liability, right? Like, and it's mostly like, because we want to blame someone, right? We want to say that something is their fault. Whose fault is this?
Yeah, and that is, coming back to our last chat, that is a big conditioning factor. That is huge. How people approach society everywhere, even offline in real life, like what Garrison and I were talking about before, the difference between online and offline, but even that, that is a very big factor. It's this blaming behavior.
Yep. Projection and blame are huge. The unwillingness and inability to accept the personal responsibility, whether it was free will or not, if responsibility exists, whether you choose it or not, doesn't really matter with respect to whether responsibility also exists, So even if it just falls in your lap, well, goddamn, there, it's still your responsibility, I guess.
Yeah.
So, but blame is this total, poison. And it seems like that's what pushes the whole free will debate in the first place, and this kind of libertarian economics of humanity, of morality, which is totally bogus. I mean, like Gary says, it doesn't matter. Morality is what matters, right? I think so too.
I think so because the law issue didn't matter. I will take one example, some kind of personal one, if I may. I'm driving every day a scooter, a small scooter, okay? And the thing is that I can apply for a license, okay? But there is no point in applying for a license because the government also criminalized the use of cannabis for driver. So even if I did apply for a license, at the first control, they will test me with the little tongue thing, and I will lose my license. So why would I apply anyway for a license? And the fine for driving without a license is lighter than driving without a license when you are losing your license, When you add one in the first place and you lose it.
Rational choice. You're exercising the rational choice model of game theory, right? So I think it's brilliant.
So at which point should I apply for a license for driving the scooters?
I agree, and I like Russ. I respect very much your choice, your free will choice. But what do you say to a cop that will stop you and says, okay, "Yeah, you don't have a license"? I mean, what is your response? I mean, I don't have to
give a response. I drive without a license. There is consequence. I will take it. The point is that even people will say to me, "Oh, it's not good because of the insurance and all that." I'm smoking weed on a daily basis. I will not be. It will not work for me in the insurance way anyway. You know? First thing that will happen if I have a crash or something, they will drug test me and I will be a screw anyway. So why should I bother?
It's not a challenge for you or so, but it's just a question. Not your question.
Perth, WA, and you're listening to Fake Collars Radio at fakecollars.com.
Thank you, noise level. I think you're not allowed to drive in this state, but thanks.
I think that I have nothing to say to the cop because, like I say, it's like a kind of game. I play, I win sometimes, and I lose if I lose, you know?
Yeah, game theory, Rand Corporation.
Exactly. Exactly. You play the game, and if you are lucky enough and on a number of possibility, you never get stopped. You can increase your chance by always respecting the speed limitation and be careful when you are driving.
I crossed the border between Holland and Germany with 50 ecstasy pills in my car. And
hold on, let me write it down.
I can tell you at that moment I didn't want to get stopped, and I didn't, luckily. And they were for personal use. They were not I wasn't a dealer or something. I mean, I had a big party, so yeah. Oh, sorry.
You repeat that last part. Hold on. My pencil broke. Hold on.
What?
Not personal use. No, it's like I was taking. Trying to get money. So, Gareth, I'm going to assume that you game it like this while at the same time you recognize and accept that it's not a fair game necessarily, right? That like the cop has more power over the game than you, just by non-arbitrary reasons or arbitrary either way. But he could just fuck the game board up, right? Like, but you still play it in your own way. But no, I think it's cool. I think it's a good approach.
But I think that of course they got one thing over me, and that's the force.
Yeah.
That's the force because I can oppose the force, and that's a game. That's a game. That's just a game. And I see people that hold the driving license and they are so stressed and so worried that they will lose it. It's even sad. I know that I am doomed because if I do enough kilometers on the scooter, I will run into the cops or problems one way or another. So, as I know that I am already doomed, there is no fear, no stress, nothing in me. I'm relaxed.
It's that anxiety of consequence, that constant, that anxiety is a lot about, like, it's basically all about predicting the future, which is neurotic tendency of people is to try to like predict the future, and then they drive themselves insane with this shit. And if you don't, you know, if you ultimately know that there's one ultimate outcome, like you're saying, you define as doomed, but you know, then you don't need to worry about every little fucking this or that could possibly happen.
Yes, and you can apply that to life. You are already dead. You are dying. So I should not say that because you are already dead, you should try every drug or every stupid thing you want to try. It's like with the scooter. I respect the limitation, even if I know that I am doomed in the end. It's like you know that you are dead, but you don't want to die too soon. So you are careful. But ultimately, you know that you need to have fun and don't take it too serious because it will end one day.
One day, but not today. Maybe not. Tomorrow. You never know. But no one ever knows, really, right? So no one knows for sure.
Well, if I can last for 15 minutes, I'm already tomorrow, so it's good for me. Today is not that very long.
No. Yeah, all this fucking projection into the future. What is all this futurism. What is the one certainty of the future?
Right, it's different from the present.
Yeah, right. that death awaits, you know, for some, perhaps, maybe not all.
But I don't know. I know that if you have been through some hardships in life, you tend to be cynical about it and enjoy the good time while it lasts, you know?
Yeah.
That's what it's for. Son of a bitch, what else is it for? In America, you feel guilty about the good time, you know? Because some homosexuals didn't get to experience it, or because, you know, it came at the price of someone, you know, some man not getting to use the women's bathroom. So we should feel guilty about any good times.
Yeah, guilt, blame, and shame, that is, oh man, it's so much part of conditioning. It's
the witch's brew, you know?
Drink up. Me in life, I just want to get many, many good times in my memory bank for when, if that ever happened, I had a health problem, or if I'm in jail or something like that, I will have something to think about, you know? It's just like that. If it ends quickly or something like that, if I get a disease, I just want to have enough good times, and that's it. I don't
I mean, Gareth, how do you survive without likes on Facebook?
Oh, I get to say, to be honest, I never, never had a Facebook profile. Never, never.
Don't say that out loud. Listen.
No, I don't really care because Facebook is dead anyway, I think, now. It's kind of dying for the last 5 years.
Shit.
That's the story anyway.
Shit. Facebook is, you look at Facebook, you're looking at the face of government, 2.0, you know, the public face. Nowadays, you can get a fucking, in America, you can get like a summons to the court or something through Facebook. You know? What the hell?
I don't believe that, sorry.
Well.
Well, and if it happens, just don't listen and see what happens.
They post the, like these, cop press conferences and stuff for some of these fake shootings. You know, they do them on Facebook too.
Mm-hmm.
What's the news source for this? Oh, Facebook. They released this to their Twitter account. A statement from the school corporation released through Twitter. You know, what the hell?
Yeah, and if you post an analysis of some event on Twitter or Facebook or a similar medium, then they will say, yeah, it's not a reputable source because it's on Facebook or Twitter or something.
Yeah, always. Right? These are mindful. That's not reputable.
No, it's all bullshit.
Only Vicologist.com.
Yeah.
For $1.19 a month. Is it a month or is it a day? I gotta check my checking account.
For me, it's zero. I'm sorry, but
free loader or what are they called? Free rider. You just leech my teeth.
I spent quite some time in Fakopedia, and it was for ad. That was enough. So I.
Yeah, but that, you got paid off by hooking up with Faye.
Oh yeah. Oh man. Yeah,
it's like any relationship.
I mean, at one moment, Mark Tukarski from Peace of Mind will even thought that I was Faye, and he talked with us in a chat together. I mean, come on, man. Some people really need to.
Phil Blanks made me. Well, he didn't make me. I chose. Phil Blanks made me call him to convince him that I wasn't Chris Kendall.
Jesus.
At least me, with the accent, I am free from those kind of allegation.
Yeah, right. Yeah, sure you are, buddy. That accent. Baker, the $3 bill.
I mean, you could be unreal.
Yes, exactly. In fact, I am... Who can I be? Who would you want me to be? I can be a... Yes, it could be a fake accent. I have never considered
If I may choose a voluptuous Latina, but...
Gross.
But anyway...
Non-voluptuous Latina.
But it's crazy that people will think that you are somebody that... He's speaking at the same time that you are. it will take some kind of masterful trickery.
Yeah, it is.
It's not that. I don't think it's that crazy for people to, you know, when you look at the environment, it's not that unreasonable to think that it might be happening. I guess
it's tough. It's a tough one because when all the support structure basically says that this happens all the time, this is happening, you know, here and there, then it, you know, why is it so unreasonable to believe that maybe it's, you know, it doesn't really challenge the fact that whether it did or not happen at those other times. It just, but if you, you know, it's like the power of belief. If you believe this, then why not? Why wouldn't you believe it? You know what I mean?
Yes, it's true. It's true. If you start to go on one certain route, you can start believe everything that comes from certain source.
Yeah.
It's true.
I mean, you almost should. You almost should if you do believe all these things from one source. What? Why would you? Why would you start to challenge these other things?
Yes, and then as everybody, we get information mostly from internet, and that can be easily manipulated. Also.
Oh my God! So yeah. Kidding me.
I know so many people that the every bit of conspiracy they know is a text video on YouTube that they watch like 10 minutes of. But it's interesting because those days I don't get those suggestions from YouTube anymore. Oh, and I get to add that I don't own a YouTube account, so every time I change my cell phone or something like that, I get different suggestions. The first one, the random one that they give you when you buy the phone, like a Samsung review or something like that. But anyway, I tend to see that I don't have many conspiracy-related suggestions those days anymore. Anything that will say that any event is a hoax or is fake, I will not find it really easily. But I can say at least for the French-speaking world that I can find some people that is supposed to be the opposition to the right way of thinking, if you want, really, really easily. And I think that's really interesting, that some people remain really, really vocal on YouTube and some other people have really, really disappeared. But like I said, I can only speak for the French-speaking world. I don't follow many news.
Oh, you just speak for the French-speaking world.
Anyway, so it's just my take on the fact that some people still remain there and still remain like in the mainstream kind of, if you want. And some people are totally going blind if you want to. And it's really interesting because like you can get somebody like let's find an example, like Alex Jones, because Alex Jones is supposedly been deplatformed from all the big sites like the YouTubes and all that, and he still remains on the mainstream. You can still see him on the news, and he is on the Joe Rogan show and everything. So he kind of still has a public life beyond his own website, and I think it's really interesting.
So Alex Jones is like the Fox News of conspiracies.
He's going to just launch an app. Or maybe he has one already.
But did you know Fox News is not Fox News anymore?
Oh, yeah, what is it? Disney News?
Yeah, well, you nailed it, yes.
It is news.
It is taken over by Disney, Fox. Ah. Oh, Gareth, your face dealer. A certain individual from Manchester says...
So are you Faye? Yeah.
Me, yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, of course I am, yeah, of course. Yeah. Whatever you want to believe.
That's kind of what it all boils down to anyway. There's some shit, I mean, I don't give a fuck if it's true or not. I'm not fucking believing it no matter what. Okay, you know? So, like, you know, like Gareth's position, I go in knowing that. So, you know, I just won't accept it.
Yeah, I think so. I think we are... We are doomed anyway, in most of cases.
I think if
we are walking to an impending doom, let's at least have fun doing it.
I think those people who are suggesting this person is that person, they have a very limited social environment, and they project that onto other people. And I've had so many of these accusations on the internet way before coming here as well, and it's bullshit, so... And also, I mean, these people don't recognize differences in language and character and whatever opinion, whatever. And and it's even worse here because it's the same thing. It's projection. It's projection about that there are people in the mainstream that they can play different roles and change character and opinion like a psychopath, like a nothing, and then project it towards other people here, right? It may happen. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but 99% of these accusations are just bullshit and reflect how little these people know about other people around them.
Ultimately, it doesn't matter. I mean, my position is, how would I know either way? You know what I mean? How would I ever know, really, in the end? So, I think it just doesn't even matter. Like, if someone wants to... carry on a bunch of monkey shines, you know? Mm-hmm. What can I do about that? You know, what am I supposed to do about other people's behavior and their choices, quote unquote, you know? All I can do is be me, and if that's fucking, you know, if there's any value to what I have to say anyway, then it doesn't matter if there's some damn character or caricature or, you know, fucking nine-headed serpent hydra thing. It really doesn't matter. You know, it'll get through and it gets through. Right? So, it'll affect who it affects and it won't. It won't. And, you know, for better or worse, I guess. It doesn't affect me at all.
Sure.
Well, most things we talk about here doesn't really affect us directly if you want to. But, like we were saying on a previous talk, it's the climate that it creates that influence our daily lives. You know? Like you in the USA, it used to be that you can take a plane really easily. Now it's a pain, supposedly, because I've never been in the USA.
But yeah, I don't know what it's like taking a plane in another country either. But no, of course, these things are the weight of them are felt. You know, it'd be impossible for it not to be. But it's done in a more direct sense that it would be, you know, someone masquerading or something. What am I supposed to do?
Yes, and I think mostly it's just sad that somebody will do such a thing, I think. Mostly it's just sad. If somebody is masquerading as someone else on these kind of things and on this kind of show, if I can say that, it's sad.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
I imagine that right now you're feeling a bit like Alice, tumbling down.
Hey, whatever.
I sit back with the pack, I take bags in this bag, and this weed, it gives me this shit needed to be the most meanest MC on this earth. And since birth, I've been cursed with the curse to just curse and just blur, just berserk, and the star shit that works, and it sells, and it helps, and it sells to relieve all this tension, just bends, and these sentences get in this breath, just been eating me recently, off of this death, and I rest again peacefully. But at least have the decency in you to leave me alone when you freak, see me out in the streets when I'm eating or feeding my daughter to not come and speak to me. I don't know you and no, I don't owe you a motherfucking thing. I'm not Mr. Instinct, I'm not.
You didn't like it.
Well, so that was Eminem.
Yeah, it's good lyrics and it's a good song.
You know, he's 75 years old.
Or something like that. If he even I don't know what to make of these people. I don't know. I'm not really sure. I know that this is all a creation, but what is real and what is not, you know?
Well, if you're real, if you're real. All I know, you know, I'm real. But as for everybody else, I don't know. But
now, you are real.
I don't remember.
And yet, original Simonon.
I'm real what?
You're real and yet original simulant.
That's right. Well, the simulation's still real. But it's like, I just have to, but yeah, one day when the fucking, when the algorithm gets it down, if I have any value worthy of being like, simulated a billion times over, at least the original one is the one closest to the authentic. So, might as well. Rather be the authentic, but if I can't, at least I'll be the original, the new original. Based off, the copy's made off something, right?
Yes, I think so. But does the copy have free will? So if the copy has free will, it's not you. It's not even a copy. It's something really totally different.
It's a copy, it's its own unique identity as a copy. You know what I mean? There's,
exactly.
No two things are fundamentally the same. So all things are unique. But it's just like if there were some hierarchy of them, first among equals for the emperor and the pope.
Yes, it's a possibility. I don't really have dived much in the simulation theory.
I don't think reality. There's things about it that are related for sure. Most of our rituals and stuff, anything simulated, yeah. So, or they're the product, the product of simulation, the result of them. It's, game theory, you just game the shit out of simulation. Punch in as many factors as you can think of. Whatever gets that ruling, that all important 1% difference, 51 versus 49%. My God, that must be the good thing. Democratic thing.
Yes, but with the democratic system, nobody is really happy.
Well, that's kind of the shit about it, isn't it? Why don't they say that the democratic system is white patriarchy? Ooh, that probably wouldn't go well.
You think it's a patriarchy, the democratic system? I don't know about that. I think in Europe there is many, many, many women ministers and head of government and everything to find it. It was really interesting. It was a picture of Angela Merkel, and I think it was from Slovenia in a Nordic country. And it was a picture of these three charming ladies at the age of 20-somethings. And then there was the next picture was them meeting at a summit of the head of government of a different European country. And I will mute for a minute and try to find this, because I am not on a device that is easy enough to use to do the both thing at the same time. So I will mute for a minute.
Okay. Hey, Russ left, so, okay, 1 minute, so let's play some music then, 1 minute, if you say 1 minute, well, it's a little bit less than a minute, probably, or not, play some music, it's fine. Russ is typing, he's going through a tunnel, or what, gotta go, fellas, okay, well, good night, man. It gets a bit esoteric here.
So I think I will give up on trying to finding the pictures. But I am on the live stream chat with the nice fellow named Napoleon Wilson. And I know that if there is one guy that will find the picture, it could be him. So I will write to him as I speak. It's a picture of Angela Merkel with other woman ministries in their 20s. And I have tried with those type of search words, and I did not find anything. But like I have said before, I'm not really competent in Google search. And I will also close my windows because it's late, and I don't think the neighbor will enjoy much hearing me talking in English at indecent hours for working people. But anyway, it's it's a great picture, and I think he will find it. I will not give up on searching it anyway. I will try with famous Angela Merkel Jung pictures. Famous Jung Angela Merkel pictures. And let's see what we found. Oh, there is also a naked photo of Angela Merkel that exists. And I don't recommend you search that one. That particular one. It's not interesting to look. But anyway, the picture I was talking about, and for the moment you get at least, believe my word, that it exists. It's really interesting, I think. And I don't remember at the time when or where was the picture taken. And that's what gets me, that you, when you remember something and it goes away like that. But anyway, I think it shows that it's all a big game, and that those people you can cannot really put any trust or faith on anything that they do or say that they will do. And I think the big example of this day that politics is a big joke is the yellow vest, because if you believe that there was really 500,000 people or more in the street in the middle of December, and then what did came of it? Almost nothing. A few small fiscal reforms and all that. I think it shows you that the game is rigged, if it did even exist. But who knows? Maybe I am wrong. Maybe it's real, and people should get all fired up about Donald Trump and who's the other guy? Bernie Sanders, yeah. Bernie Sanders. I like those characters. Sometimes they can be entertaining to listen to them. But hey, I see that I am alone, and I will not tremble anymore. I will mute for a few seconds of minute time that the Gaia come back.
But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks. And it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The big, the wealthy, the real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. They're irrelevant. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back, all the big media news, all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. You know something? They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back. So they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged. And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. Yeah. You know?
Are you there, Garrett?
Yes, I'm there, but I have to leave for just one quick minute.
Yeah, my laptop is going strange. I don't know what's happening, but... So I will play some more. What the hell, man? Godverdomme.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
And let's thanks Tripped for the wonderful bot, because the fact that we could play audio while talking on the chat is just great. So thanks again for that.
Yeah, man, it's fine. You don't have to thank me.
You've been fantastic, and I hope you enjoyed it.
So what George Carlin was saying was really interesting. And I think it's really interesting also that they let him say that in a big audience. I'm not that familiar with the life story of the guy, but if he says those kind of things, even to make people laugh, I think that he had the most many IRS control and many problems going on with his life.
I agree. I mean, for me, both George Carlin and Bill Hicks helped me in waking up even more than by myself. So that may be conditioning or getting a hand. I don't know how you want to define it, but I think it's... And I think, yeah, I repeat it, but humor works. Humor works. It's the best reflection you can give, I think.
Yes, I think so. I think like you, humor is the best weapon we have. And you can make people laugh and you can make people think. And some of the best humorists, comedian, you can find that they are great. They have a great mind.
Yeah, I know that's true. I mean, do you know Owen Benjamin?
I know the name, but I never heard the guy.
Well, I heard two or three videos, clips, but he's good as well. He's funny. I'm not an expert or so. I mean, I Steve Hughes, I know everything about him. He's also great guy. But Owen Benjamin, I discovered him just before the big hype, because he was in the past weeks he became much bigger. But I just found it before, and then yeah. It's fun.
I can't say that I know of the guy at all.
Oh, he wasn't Joe Rogan? I don't know. Could be.
Oh, that's the guy that was with Alex Jones when... I see the guy one time. Only one time. Alex Jones.
He was 3 hours and 9 minutes on Joe Rogan?
Yes, but I don't listen that much to Joe Rogan those days.
No, neither do I. Never, but...
I used to like listening to him when he was having a fighter on. Those days, I am not really interested with the type of people he had on.
I'll look for... Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's a good clip, because I haven't seen it, read it, heard it. But let's take a look. What does he have?
And I get to say about Joe Rogan also that I have already said on here that I am really suspicious of the whole liberalization of cannabis movement, and I think he has a part in it. So I'm really suspicious of him as well.
Yeah, that could very well be. Let's just play this clip. It's not even 2 minutes, so let's see what it is. I don't know. I haven't listened to it.
Another one falls? It's because of this. It's because, okay, they want to double the taxes, right? So they want to get women to work. That's why Barack Obama, this savior of mankind, spread vicious propaganda lies. The wage gap is mathematically not true, and everybody knows it. Why do they do that? Because they want women to think that being a woman is defined by work. And what happens when you go to work? You don't have kids, and if you do, you don't raise them, and you definitely have fewer kids. So what happens then? Then women now pay taxes. So now you've increased your tax base. Now you don't have a family structure, right? And when you have a family structure, you can rely on each other. So you don't need these giant social fucking nets that don't give a shit about you. And it's just an embezzlement scheme. All right. So what happens then? It's just like, oh God. And they don't even see it. So then all these women don't have kids, right? So they work their ass off because they think that's empowerment. And then when, of course, the other thing that's empowerment is Planned Parenthood, which is ripping life out of their womb once they create the life, okay? So they have 2 or 3 fucking abortions in their 20s, early 30s, because they're trying to, you know, make as much money as possible, because that's what womanhood is defined by authoritarian giant government people, right? So because they just want to take more money and have more control, because that's what Bernie Sanders, that fucking liar, is. Okay, so then what happens? Then women realize that they should have had kids, and they have this emptiness that follows them everywhere they go, and that no matter what they do, it doesn't fill it. Like, I know Chelsea Handler. I've done her show 5 times. Like, I'm not just this random spectator. I watch someone be cool and fun and slowly become a fucking psychopath. Chelsea Handler at 30 was really cool. Chelsea Handler at 40-something is a nut job. And you see this over and over. Amy Schumer used to be really cool. I shot a Butterfinger commercial with her. She let me stay at her apartment. I've done her fucking TV show. The chick was a rock star. And then you watch them age. And then you watch them think that they have to baby everyone. And that everything is about safety. And everything is about not saying the wrong word and not hurting feelings. You know what that's good for? Babies! You idiots! That quality is good in a woman when you're dealing with a 1-year-old in an electric socket. But they didn't fucking have babies. Sarah Silverman didn't have, none of these people had babies. So they baby everybody else. And you know what that leads to? Genocide. And everyone, no one fucking cares. It's the same thing that happens with men. You take a warrior, right? You take a warrior man. A man genetically designed to protect. And you give him no mission, that's death to society. Death. You take a bunch of knights, you take a bunch of warriors, you take a bunch of men in the prime of their life, ready for battle, for work, for protection, for love, for earning, and you give them nothing. You know what you get? ISIS. You think?
He made some good points. I mean, there are some mainstream... ideas mixed into it, but I think he makes some good points.
Yes, but
especially with women.
I think that the opposite is also true, that it's conditioning. The fact that women before that were supposed to make the most baby as possible, to be the father of war, if you want to, you know, to be through the grinder and to die in those battles, and that he say that men are supposed to be warrior in a kind of way, in a kind of tribal way that could make sense, but mostly wars, if you even believe they existed, are mostly about private interest and those kind of things, you know.
Yeah, but it's a difference between a warrior and a soldier, right? I mean, a soldier is an employee for the state department, and a warrior is not necessarily related to that. It's just standing up for yourself and or in your family and protecting your family. I mean, that's a man's job. I mean, that's clear, right? I mean, it's not some conditioning. That's how it is. And that's also why... our community is mostly male-dominated. It's because men have the obligation to look for outside threats much more than women do. That's the role of the man, let's say. And an outside threat to our lives is spreading lies and bullshit stories, and that's why I think men are much more inclined to go into all of this, and why it's more male-dominated here than females.
Yes, I think it's I think it starts with the allocation of resources, you know, and organizing the community at the start, because allocation of resources for defense and those kind of things, but it's different from a domestic economy. But I think it's all a part of conditioning, you know, the both ways. The stay-at-home mothers are some kind of conditioning, and then you get the independent woman, and it's another way of conditioning people.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I disagree with the fact that we don't have free will. I think we have enough choice and free will to assess situations, and not everyone has the same intelligence level or way to discern right from wrong or true from false or so. But in essence, I believe that people have free will. And I think then the choice comes, okay, do you want to work 40 plus hours for someone else, or do you want to work for the family, for the offspring, for the future? And I think that's, I mean, it doesn't need to be a black and white difference. I mean, you can work for 20 hours for a company and spend the rest of the time on the kids. For men and women, it's the same thing. It doesn't matter on the sex. But I mean, of course, there is. What I liked about this is this emptiness. I think that is a good point that he made. This emptiness that needs to be filled. And that is true.
Yes, I think that's true, because I can cite many examples, but we might need a woman on the panel here to give.
Yeah, probably. The only woman that is terrified, and well, she's not online status, but is Laura. But there are not many women left at fakeologist.com.
Yes, because we can debate on that, but you will soon end as a misogynistic rambling, I think, in the end.
No, I don't think so. No, I think that is conditioning. I think that is really, I mean, it's the same with all this racism bullshit and this anti-woman bullshit and this anti-Semitism bullshit. And if you make a comment about a woman, it can be interpreted as negative. That doesn't mean you hate all women. The same thing if you remark that, well, there are actually quite a number of Jews in banking and political dirty games. That doesn't make you hating all Jews or so. And that is such a conditioning. That is so stupid. Right? I mean, if you don't like Obama, that doesn't mean you don't like black people. I mean, it's crazy, really. An alien landing on this planet will never happen, but and it's insane, really. It's not logical at all. It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, I see your point. Fair enough.
And at least in my experience, and I talked to quite a lot of women, I had quite some encounters of women in my life, right? And I have never heard anyone complaining about, men hate women. So I saw that online with this whole feminism and this men going their own way, which is just male feminism bullshit, right? But In normal life, that didn't happen at all. I mean, a friend of mine, Colombian woman, an engineer, a smart girl, woman, she went to the U.S. to do a project there, and then she was attending a mandatory session on misogyny, right? I mean, like, against women. And then she was looking at that session, I mean, from a Colombian perspective, like, what the hell is happening here? What is this? And she uses her femininity to her advantage, and that is what women always have done and always will do in every circumstance, either their sexuality or whatever other kind of feminine trait, and that's fine. And she never had any men touching her in places that he shouldn't do that. No, I mean, it's not normal human behavior. It is not men, it is not women. It's all conditioning.
Yes, I think it's a game, and nobody can blame anyone to play the game.
Mm.
But it's a whole change in the civilization that we see supposedly these days, that that whole destruction of the family and the whole the supposed divorce rate and all that. I don't know if there is really any truth to it, but I tend to think that we spoke about that the other day, that many people are child out of wedlock, and most male at least don't really raise the child these days.
Well, yeah, of course, that is a problem here in Colombia, of course. I mean, there are so many single moms, that's really, I mean, it's almost like the norm, especially in the poorer classes. And, yeah, of course, that is a problem. I mean, a child needs a mother and a father. I mean, that is clear. And both provide their unique input, and both are right in providing that, and it's not one is better than the other. I mean, it's putting up people against each other is bullshit. Right?
Yes, I think so, and it's also a part of a big push, and part of the whole world. I want to say the whole environment, the fact that a woman can be independent, even have a kid without even a man to be present, and even the court system, and the whole world is pushing toward that. I think. There is not that much society that you can find where the role of the father is really that much important.
Yeah, and you see it, of course, in all the mainstream series and movies and so, where men are portrayed as weak and childish and so on.
I will tell you one great example is the Disney princess.
Mm, yeah.
You know about those? It's all the same stereotype, and that means the mother is dead or absent, and the father is a kind of a wimp that either is played up by his entourage, or has married a really mean lady that is treating his princess.
What's the name of the movie? Malevolence, Malefica in Spanish. What's the
Disney Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, exactly, that one. Yeah.
She's from a movie, Disney, of course.
Exactly.
Hey, yes. Do you want to hear some coincidence or sync, as John Lebon would call it, sync?
Uh huh. We talked about that.
Huh? I was just talking with another driver here, where I am, and we were talking about a lot of things, but then he turned out he was a big Baptist religious guy, and he started laying the Bible on me pretty thick, which I'm not a religious person, but he was telling me how his church.
I am Pablo Novi of 911truthdialogue.com, and you're listening to Psychologist Radio on psychologist.com.
Who is that? Okay, sorry.
I missed the name. Who was that bumper?
It's your bumper, right? No, but please go on.
It's not my bumper. It's someone who recorded it. I'm just wondering who it was.
Included it, at least. Right?
That doesn't matter. I'm not responsible for every single word.
Oh, we talked about that as well. About that as well. Responsibility.
I'm a common carrier.
Now, please go on about the driver you talked to.
He was telling me about how his church burned down and how he was at a temporary church, and I think he was trying to get me to come check it out because he loves the reverend there, or the preacher, as they call him. And I have no time for religion. I can imagine being a born-again psychologist. Anyway. born he's a born again. He's a born. I don't have disdain for those people because I know they power the world. Anyway, not 2 seconds later, I look at my news feed and I read about a restaurant in Winnipeg, which is the center of North America, mind you, Winnipeg, Canada.
Hockey.
And
yeah.
A restaurant owner was accused, his family was accused of staging a hate crime on his restaurant. I know that's not exactly related, but...
Let's see coincidence there.
Well, now that I think about it, it isn't really a coincidence, but it got me thinking about... it got me thinking about staged churches being vandalized and or staged for their own purposes to rebuild money, sympathy, whatever you want to call it.
And, yeah, I saw a couple of examples in the topic, you know, the forum I am on by a Canadian about the topic was about this stuff in Sri Lanka, but then he brought up some churches in Canada where he lives. It got a so-called attacked. I will look it up, but my laptop is really cranky now. So
yeah, well, if you do a search, I did do a search. If someone, I'm driving now, but if someone wants to play, a guy has a video on YouTube that he just created about this staged event. You might want to try and play a bit of it, just to, because I couldn't find a mainstream media story on it right now. And I think it just is too new, too brand new. But maybe Tryptamine is here. He could play it. I just looked it up. I just looked up this search. If you look above under the commands forum, if you want to play it for me.
Yes, and I will not be surprised in the fact that if a community sees that there is some way to play the victim cards, that they will play it. They will even overplay it sometimes. It's logic, I think. Now these days, everybody wants to be a victim in some kind of way.
Well, I'm very suspicious that a majority of the hate crimes are staged. If they're not totally fake.
Yes, I think so. I think it's like I said, people want to play a victim race, like who will win the big victim race, and I think it's also seen in the bigger events if you want to, because you get the mosque shootings, you get the church attacks, you get the it's kind of a competition if you want. And the media will have you believe that it is a competition on the attacks, but it's the other way around. It's an oxing competition.
So it turns out that the most brazen act of anti-Semitism in Winnipeg's history was indeed staged, just like I thought in my video I made 2 days ago. I'll put a link in the description below. You can take a look at it yourself, and I think I made a pretty good call. But honestly, I don't feel that great because... most people, I think, unless you're completely brainwashed, would be able to tell there was something fishy about the story. The fact that they didn't get a security camera, even though they've been people have been graffitiing racist stuff on their building for months now. It's like they're just too cheap. You know, it's a pretty nice building they got there. I think they can afford some security cameras to catch some people spray painting and stuff like that. But you know, they got charged, and there was three of them, I think, like a mom, a dad, and like the daughter or something. So they're all working, they're all criminals, and they all they're going to get is a public mischief charge. That's it. And honestly, I think it should be a lot worse. If you fake hate crimes, you should, you know, potentially face jail time. If you fake, like, rape cases and you say you were raped by a guy or something and it turns out you lied, you should go to prison for the amount of time that he would have went to prison for. You know, this is going to stop a lot of these fake and bogus hate crimes, other than giving them a simple public mischief charge.
Yeah, they should leave
really,
the faking to the intelligence agency.
They had the whole city of Winnipeg backing them practically, being like, oh, we're here for you. We're our hearts. We love you. We're not anti-Semitic. And there's all these Jewish groups saying that, oh, this is hopefully this isn't signs of what's to come in the future. And I can't believe this brazen act is so terrible. You know, a bunch of people condemned it immediately. But if they read the story just like me, so they probably saw, this is kind of fishy. Well, let's run with it anyways. Let's go with it anyways, because clearly this is going to work in our favor. We can demonize the right wing again. We can kind of assume that it was these evil right wingers that did it. This works perfectly for our narrative. So let's not really fact check this. Let's not look too deeply into it. And I'm just a regular roofer, okay? And I read a story and I'm like, first read, I'm like, this doesn't sound real. This doesn't sound true at all.
A roofer, all right.
Like Jesse
Smollett. That's here for the blue collar guys.
Like I said in my other video, I almost assumed her to have a noose around her neck when she answered the door, right? It's ridiculous, but people, they're not going to question things like this, even when there's a bunch of loose ends and where there's smoke, there's fire. Nobody's going to question it because they don't want to be called racist or anti-Semitic, but this is a serious problem because a lot of the people, they may not hear the retraction. All they're going to be left with probably is that, oh, there's more anti-Semitism going on in Winnipeg and in Canada, and it's rising. And then there's an article today from the CBC saying the far right is rising in Alberta. And, you know, there's all these articles.
Anyway, I just paused that. I really love videos. Call our regular Sky appears real, and this is what I enjoy about the internet. This is one of the good things of the internet that I enjoy. There's a guy just cracking off on his own channel, a roof, as it were, apparently. So you have to be suspicious of everybody, but we can be okay with agreeing that this guy could be real. But it's just saying a commentary on their staging of a hoax, and there's. Seems to be more and more stories about admitted staged events. I know we had the big one in Chicago with the Jesse Smollett guy. I didn't follow that story at all. But and this one, of course, is much smaller. But there you go.
I don't think it's much smaller because the guy is known. And I never heard of the guy before. No? So it's like... No, I think about the other guy, like the Smollett guy. Never heard of the guy, and I don't know anything about the story except that he said that it was attack, and he was not. And that's it, I think. I think it was proved that he said that he was attack, and he was not attack, or not at least in the way he said, and I don't think he will go to prison or have any kind of trouble. But I think it's relevant the fact that he's known, and that you can stage something and come out of it even bigger. So I think that's it's interesting, the fact that you can stage a hoax that it need not work, and people will not really hold it against you. I think it's fascinating.
Well, that's the first hate crime. Staged hate crime story I've ever, at least around here. I don't think I've ever heard of one.
No, there was some in the French-speaking world. In France, there was a girl that claimed that she was attacked, and I think drew with a pen some swastika on her, and it was a hoax.
Oh, okay.
And there is also in France, at least that was what I heard of. Sometimes I think every 3 months or so, they throw a story about some kids painting a Nazi cross on a cemetery, on a Jewish burial right. grounds, or something like that. But like I say, just a small reminder, it's like with vaccines, you know? You take something to reactivate the component.
Yes.
But I think it's like you said, they must leave the hoax to the professional, because when people do it on the amateur time, it's like if you and me wanted to make a movie, you know?
Yes.
And we only add
this video?
Yes, yes, play it.
Okay. Go ahead, type in resume for me, dash.
And Chrystia Freeland Trudeau constantly saying there's a rise of white supremacy, so they're trying to make us all fearful, and instances like this, fake hate crimes like this, just works for them even more. I don't know why these people did it. Maybe they were paid off by some group to do it, or maybe they did it for, like I said before, money, insurance money. I have no idea, but this is a serious problem. And if there was a reverse, right? If it was a white person and they faked a hate crime or a crime and they said some natives came in and beat me up and it turned out they didn't, you would see they would be condemning white people. They would be writing articles about how white privilege, how for generations white people have been blaming minorities for things that they did, and they've been going to prison, and all these aboriginals are in the prison system, and we need to stop this, blah, 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 right? But this, they're just going to forget about it. They're not going to, shit on the Jewish community, like I don't think they should. But they do that when there's white people. After the New Zealand shooting, there was an article that came out, I can't remember, it said, we need to hold all white people accountable for this, right? Imagine if that came out after the Easter bombings that happened in Sri Lanka, where all these Muslims killed a bunch of Christians. And I was right about that, too. We're like, oh, all the information isn't out yet. And you don't know, it could have been the Tamil Tigers or something like that. No, you idiots. All these people have been coming back from Syria for the past 2 fucking years. Okay, and the Tigers haven't been active for like the past 10 years. And, they did this during Easter, they were suicide bombers, like, come on, did you really think it was like, I don't know, anybody else? Clearly it was them, but, you know, they're not going to speculate when it comes to that, but when it comes to anything else to do with us, they're going to speculate, they're going to be like, wow, this person had one tweet that was kind of supportive of Trump, so he's probably a right-winger, a white supremacist, blah, blah, blah. But this is hilarious, right? And it's good that people are going to be more skeptical of these types of things happening in the future, because a lot of them are fake. You know, I just have to say it, a lot of them are fake. Some of them are true. And then the true ones, the real ones, is just like graffiti. Somebody saying like George Soros, this. And the hate crimes or anything in Winnipeg haven't risen whatsoever. They've risen, and I think it was like Ontario and Montreal. But that's because they get a bunch more immigrants and stuff sent there, right? And they're going to complain and say like, somebody called me the N-word. And they're going to write that down as a hate crime. Oh, somebody wrote in chalk, white people are great. Hate crime against all minorities in that city. George Soros, hate crime against Jewish people, anti-Semitism, right? Just mentioning his name, drawing it, writing it somewhere. That's anti-Semitism nowadays. But good, be skeptical of these types of things in the future.
Yes, be skeptical of all major media.
More of these. Hopefully they keep getting exposed.
Yes, yes, fantastic.
We were just talking about that and this snowflake society, right?
Yeah.
And that is only there in the internet world, because in the real world, if you talk to people and you explain your views, that doesn't happen. People are not judging you based on that, I would say. At least not in my experience. I don't know.
Well, it's good to hear that. If one of you guys wants to go to his channel and leave a comment, do a link to the website here, tell him we talked about him, that would be good.
The thing is, I want to register on YouTube.
I mean, the thing is, he still buys into the whole, the Muslims did it in Sri Lanka thing. So
he's part of the 99%.
Yes, he cannot be perfect.
I mean, there are so many people out there who call something fake only when it touches on their common denominator, right? But it's,
well, yeah, it matches his belief system, but it just, this is the word fake being used for a mainstream story. Doesn't mean that that person now, at least you know that guy who made the video is a skeptical person. Smart enough to identify it and to talk about it in a public way, which I think is great.
No, that's true. No.
I'd like to remind people that what we do here is very unique, and just you guys getting on an audio and speaking your mind and leaving yourself open to criticism is a very, very, very unique characteristic. Most people will never open their mouth in a public forum and open themselves up for criticism. So you guys are part of a very, very elite percentage of even fakeologists that speak up and will be identified. So
we made a shout out app, and maybe you will get bilingual retarded people joining your site because we made a shout out to them. I listened back to the earlier conversation, and
there's so much audio. I'm still working my way through couple audio chats from a while ago, which just tells you I don't listen to the audio chats before I post them. So
same for me. I don't find enough time to listen to all.
Yeah, I'll have to play them while I'm asleep to see if I absorb them.
I used to listen to podcasts when I fall asleep, but thing is, I don't know if it's because English is not my natural language, but I used to wake up with a big anguish. I noticed it.
A big what? You used to wake up with
headache?
I was anxious. Anxious. I was
anxious.
I was not feeling well, and I could listen not to a conspiracy thing, maybe even comedy podcast, but it did not change. I woke up feeling not well.
Okay, I'm sorry to hear it.
So I will advise against that.
You're anxious.
I might have. I might have, to be honest.
Now, I want to make you aware that tryptamine has developed another bot that's invoked with the equal sign, and you can now replay any audio off my website. So all the audio chats you can replay here.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
You don't have free will. You have the appearance of free will.
Yes, you can replay any audio including that I've linked to on my website. This is a unique, fascinating feature. And you can go to timestamps. So obviously you're not going to play an audio chat. In an audio chat, the whole thing, that would be crazy. But if you want to just play a clip without clipping it, you can do a go-to, which is a great feature. If someone said something and you want to just rebroadcast it, then you can do that.
Okay. And to come back on the point you were making earlier, it is really the worst hate crime in Winnipeg.
Well, I don't say it's the worst hate crime. It was a hate crime that was exposed as a hoax. That's all. I didn't know.
Yes, but... to come back to the article,
I didn't read it too much.
Because I was saying that in the sense that the thing is that in France, for example, the some kind of big terror event are taken under the consideration of anti-Semitic acts. So imagine the worst anti-Semitic events in France, what it will be. I think it will be something like the Bataclan, I think.
The affair, what's it? 1890-something. What's it? The affair. Josh, Daddy O, made it. He analyzed it on Miles Mathis. Jesus. How will you look it up? I mean, Google is still there, available to us.
I will do it right now. Biggest. No, I will do it in French, because it will be even better.
Plus grand. Dreyfus affair.
The Dreyfus affair. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, I did not understand at first, but the Dreyfus affair. Of course, that case. I read a book about that when I was young.
Oh, really?
I don't even know that.
Well, he was a Jewish officer in the French army that, I think the story is, if I remember correct, that he was selling supposedly secrets to the adversary. And it was a whole setup because he was Jewish, supposedly, and he was treated very badly and executed, I think, in the end.
Yeah, I mean, I shared the link from of the paper of by Daddy O, Josh, in the live stream show notes. And he did really a good job in breaking down the whole story and so. It's in different parts. I think it's only part one there. J'accuse part deux. Oh no, it's the second part. But the Dreyfus affair on trial by Josh G.
Yes, the Dreyfus affair. It's a big, big story in the French mythology, French national mythology. It's a big, big thing.
Mm. Yeah, and it was. I mean, the whole anti-Semitism and especially Zionism. It all started with the same guy who invented, who was the father of both. Marxism, he was the mentor of Karl Marx, and the inventor of National Socialism.
Wow.
Moses
Hess. Smart guy.
Moses Hess. He married a prostitute.
A Jewish one?
You know what he was getting.
Yeah, he was Jewish, yeah.
No, but the girl, she was Jewish?
I don't know that.
She was obviously a businesswoman, good with money.
No, but the point being that to be a Jewish child must have a Jewish mother.
Yeah, no, I understand. But what I think happened, especially in the, I mean, there was so much fakery going on in the second half of the 19th century. I think that is a really, I mean, I don't subscribe to John Le Bon's idea that history is just 200 years old.
No,
but at the same time, in the second half of the 19th century, the so-called Industrial Revolution time, there was a lot of, I mean, the Egyptology started in that moment. And also, this idea that Jews were somehow a suppressed race, well, they're not a race at all, but and that helped in sparking Zionism, the idea that Jews deserve a homeland, and I'm fine with that. I mean, if they want to have a land and buy a land that's empty, and so, fine. I mean, go do that. I mean, just don't mistreat Arab Palestinians for that. I mean, well, fine. And don't expand into other people's territories. Okay, fine. But this whole idea of European, especially European Jews, to go back to Israel, whatever, I mean, they lived outside of that for centuries, but whatever. That started in that time period with Moses Hess. Moses Hess really is the... And the funny thing is, he invented the term, National Socialism. And the so-called anti-Semitic, well, they were anti-Semitic against normal Jews, but they were very philo-Semitic towards the George Soros's, Henry Kissinger's, and the Warburgs, Schiff's, Rothschilds, yeah, and all those big guys.
Lots of Jews that were Hitler's protégés.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean,
party.
Yeah, the Zionists are the biggest anti-Semites in the world, right?
Yes, I think so. And
well,
you
that
can see
the
that it's
the controlled opposition in a way.
That's the only country, like you, for example, Israel play in all the sport competition with the European country.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that there is a big push for integration of foreign people in Europe. But you don't get that for Israel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like a selective politics, you know? Something you apply to them and some you don't. But it's a fascinating story, I think.
Yeah, it's the old Roman, well, they call it Roman, but at least it's in Latin. It's a saying that is, quod licet Jovi, non licet Bovi. You know that, right? It means... What's good for Jovi is Jupiter. Jupiter, so the main god, yeah, right? Like Zeus. Is not good or is not allowed for the bulls, the cows.
Yes, and it's wonderful to see that what worked the other century worked this century also, because we get the ox of the previous century, and you get the new ox, and you can find some kind of similarity. And I want to thank you to make me go back to the Dreyfus case, because I have really forget about it.
Yeah, please.
But that was not the biggest anti-Semitic case, because that is the foundation, if I can say.
Mm-hmm.
That is a big foundation, but that's not the biggest. The biggest will be... I think there was a guy that shoot in front of a Jewish school in Toulouse.
Oh, right. I remember that.
That was in March also. The famous infamous March.
That was back when I first started waking up. I remember that. And I know...
I was already... suspicious of many things at the times, and it was a stupid story. Like the guy was supposed to be like 24 or 27, between those age, but anyway, the thing is that the guy is supposed to be unemployed, a small time crook, a thief, you know, like not a big dealer or somebody that is having big financial meanings, you know. And the guy is supposed to have traveled to that many countries like Turkey, Syria, Afghanistan, Pakistan, all those countries, Egypt, you know. And it was just a complete fakery, even the character of the guy. And at the time, what was interesting was that it was not really done greatly hoax, because the witness was saying different things at the time, and then the testimony was changing, and it was really badly done, because at first they show on TV some witness saying that the guy was a tall, blue-eyed guy, because the guy is supposed to have a motorcycle helmet when he shooted. So try to aim with a weapon wearing a motorcycle helmet. Just try that.
Good luck. Yeah. Your vision is very included, very, very difficult.
Yes, because to my personal experience, I have tried shooting with a gas mask that was designed for use by soldiers, and it was a terrible thing to do. So I will not imagine with a simple motorcycle helmet that is not designed to use with weapons.
Yeah, it's the Toulouse and Montauban shootings. From, of course, the 11th of March, which is the counter date to 11th of September, of course, in Montauban and Toulouse in the Midi Pyrenees region of France. And this so-called perpetrator, Mohamed Merah, he so-called shot at Jewish schools, and he opened fire at the Ozar HaTorah Jewish Day School in Toulouse, killing a rabbi and three children.
Yes, and he also shot a French military guy, an Arabic one, to make everybody happy. If you want.
Yeah. Cover all bases, right? Yeah.
Yes. To rile up everybody against him.
Yes. Make a biggest psyop that covered makes it interesting for the maximum number of people. Just like these psyops go international with all these international people that just happen to be at the place where these events occur. What are the chances?
Yes.
From every nation represented defies logic in a big way.
Yes, and there was the thing that was ridiculous with this particular one was that they released some supposed recordings of the guy speaking with police when he was holed up in his apartment.
Yeah,
and then the guy is supposed to have done something that I would love to see in real life. He's supposed to jump out his window, gun blazing, to try to kill as many policemen as he can.
Like in a movie.
Like in a
movie.
It would
just
be wonderful.
Like a movie, yeah.
His name was, of course, M.M., Mohammed Mera, but it could have been Sylvester Stallone, S.S., but he was allegedly filming everything with the GoPro on his chest. Right?
All right.
Yes,
yeah.
That was never released.
Did we get the video? We didn't get that. How too bad.
No, but I can recommend you a great Clint Eastwood movie. It's like I think it's a 1513 to Paris or from Paris. It's a great movie about a terrible event that happened in a train in France. Where one guy pulled up an AK-47 and he was yes, you know what even? And he was restrained by military soldiers.
That was when I was still at Cluj Forum, and I think it was Seneca. It's still a shame he left, but Seneca, he's a Belgian guy and he's a very good guy.
He was here for a while.
Yeah, and he was very enthusiastic about Fakeopedia, and we talked about that before. But he opened that topic, and I looked into that case. That was in the Thalys from Paris to Amsterdam, and then somewhere along the way there was it was not an attack, right? It was like an attempt.
Yes, the guy was supposed to be clunky with his weapons.
Yeah, and then the people called him and put him down, and so, I remember.
No, not people. Two American off-duty soldiers.
Yeah, true. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, thank
not
you.
Just
yeah.
people. Not just people. Yeah. No, because if you make a story so great, you even can have a Clint Eastwood movie, and that's the truth,
You need heroes. Yeah, you need heroes,
But, and I am not joking, it's really a movie made by Clint Eastwood.
All right. Based on a true story.
Ha! Exactly.
So the name of the movie is The Good, The Bad, and The Fakey?
Something like that. But Clint Eastwood has a tendency to do stupid movies. He made American Sniper also.
Yeah, true.
And also the terrible movie to scare people of inner city habitants in the 80s.
Right.
Which were good movies at the time. I mean, it's watchable, but it's also propaganda, I think, because it came in a... Oh, what a coincidence.
There's Clint now. Clint just went driving by.
Exactly.
Yeah, sorry, Unreal. That was my audio button here. I have a button for, how do you say it? A siren going off here. Yeah, of course.
That's because you're a fake researcher.
Yeah.
And what I was saying is that those movies came with an atmosphere also, like it was the beginning of the supposed crack epidemic and all that. And I think Clint Eastwood always has been a big propaganda tool.
But the crack epidemic was real, right? I mean, they really introduced crack on the streets in the U.S. to poor black people, right? I mean, that's real.
Well,
someone did. But to be honest, I have observed the effect on long time crack use on people firsthand, if I can say so. And the thing is that people are not like you see them in the movies, you know. People.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. Okay.
People yeah. can hold some type of jobs, and people can do crazy functional things under the influence of this, you know? It's like with everything.
Yeah, but it's the poor class. I mean, and I've seen it firsthand as well here in Colombia, right? I mean, of course, cocaine country for most mainstream believers. Bazuco is what you call crack cocaine here. And, I mean, one of the best music artists of all time, I consider, is Joe Arroyo. He is the main salsa figure of Colombia. He was addicted. He used crack cocaine and he functioned. Yes. But at the same time, in the poor neighborhoods at the coast on Colombia, they're using crack cocaine and, well, they can function, but on a criminal level, right?
Yes, but I will not promote drug use, of course, but I just wanted to say that it's not like you see in the movies, but I am also very, very, very suspicious of any movement that tend to criminalize or promote drug use in any way. And I think we will see that the people that will take interest in cannabis in the next years will be the same that we see them the whole time, like the Procter & Gamble's and Philip Morris of the world, you know?
I mean, Monsanto is admittedly, GMO-ing cannabis, right?
Yes, and Monsanto doesn't exist anymore. It was bought by Bayer, I think. Now it's Bayer.
Okay.
I think so, because Monsanto became like a gimmick, you know. You cannot use that brand in a functional way anymore, I think. So they were booked up by Bayer, I think. But I may be wrong, but anyway, they were booked up, and the name Monsanto is now gone.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
In my dreams, I have a plan. So actually, anyone supporting Bayer Leverkusen, which is the football club owned by Bayer in Leverkusen next to Cologne, Germany, is actually shilling for Monsanto.
Kind of. The only place I have heard the name Monsanto anymore is when they lose a trial. When they lose a trial, it's Monsanto.
But I remember it from the Zika scare. It's
Bayer?
Also there, I think. No, Monsanto in Brazil.
Okay.
When this Zika so-called epidemic was raging a couple of years ago, it was because of the stuff they sprayed, Monsanto sprayed on the crops there in Brazil.
Oh, with the hydrocephalus babies.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, of course, if you spray chemicals, yeah, that can affect people, right? I mean, yeah. But that doesn't mean it's Zika or some virus or whatever, yeah.
Well, I think you don't have to look very far because, once again, if you believe the story, you can look at the dispersion of Agent Orange in Vietnam.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That Vietnam is still one of the leading countries in child malformation.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, there was a case in Holland. It's actually international, but it has different names in different countries. That was a medicine given to mothers to relieve the pain from having a child and child, I mean, like being pregnant. It's called Softanon, is the name in Holland, but it has different names in other countries. And it was a huge scandal in the 60s and 70s, and children were born without limbs and without, I mean, that was a real case, right? I mean, it was, and they had to retract the stuff, and it's not some kind of TV hoax.
That was thalidomide. Yeah. Thalidomide, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that was a real criminal act by a huge chemical company, right? I mean, it's not like every single child of that is a CGI hoax there, right there.
Not all of those. And I think that history kind of shows that when you have a spike in baby malformation or something like that, it's mostly done by chemicals. Is it on purpose, or is it because people are too lazy to do the research or just want quick money? But anyway, the fact is that we can somehow trace that from the fact that there were chemical spills.
Yeah.
So I don't think some kind of stupid virus like the one we have every 2 or 3 or so. But I can see that it's kind of slowed down since the Ebola.
Yeah, but I what I think is happening, and also what I think it relates to the Notre Dame thing. I think once an event is happening, they try to damage control it and turn it into something they can control. So this Zika stuff, it's of course not because of a virus spread by a mosquito. No, it was a chemical disaster, and then they turned it into something else. Just like with this, what I think, this, at least my point of view on this moment, is this Notre Dame fire. It was accidental, I think, and then they turned it into something they can somehow control, because they didn't push the terrorism narrative or another narrative. It was like, oh, what shall we do with this event now? It's happening. Oh, let's find something to control it.
What about that fire video? Because if it was accidental, that means they would have had to been ready with the story. How are they going to be ready with the story so fast?
No, that is a great one. I mean, we talked about it just before. And
yeah, they can't have been ready with the story. So if in the odd chance the fire
There was construction work. It was too convenient, I think, and they removed some statues. It was a bit symbolic. I think it was staged also. I think so.
I don't think it was staged. But what they did was how I see it right now is they used this footage of this Canadian filmmaker that I shared on your blog. And if you look at the video, the animation video, it's really filled with symbolism and crazy stuff. And I interpreted.
I'll never watch that.
It's good. It's really good. It's really good.
I know.
There is the 9/11 collapse in there.
Okay.
And what I interpreted it is the Challenger hoax.
And that's in a movie. It's called Payload?
Yeah, that one. That was made by a guy named Lefebvre, but Lefebvre, normally it would be either with a B or with a V, but in this case it's with both a B and a V, which is looks strange for a name, but okay. But what I think they did is they presented this footage of this collapsing spire. I mean, the spire collapsed in real life, just like the towers collapsed in real life, but they used footage from an earlier video, in this case, this animated video, to present it as that is what happened. It's the same thing. It's damage control. Yeah, it's using something you have in your archive to present as that is what happened. Even though the real thing really happened, just like with
a lot of pre-planning, though, like 9/11, lots of pre-planning. So the fire,
that may be.
And I think also that it came at a really opportunistic time for the French people to bind together around something not negative, to be honest. It's not a negative event. It's like a big binding event, and everybody is it's heartwarming to see the support that the people gave and everything. And and now you see that the guy from the big company like L'Oreal are not so bad people because they want to help the French culture. And
300 million euros, yeah. But you're right. I think they need to stage these events because people are good at mourning. Are they ever good at mourning? And that's one thing that unifies people across religions is mourning for the dead. So you have to read an event, get everyone mourning. Mourning is a trans-religious experience. Every religion knows how to mourn.
Yes, and I think also one thing you can, and I think you can say something about the French climate is that they need a binding event, but a terroristic one will be too much as the police is already too stretched out by the Yellow Vest movement, you know? And they are too tired, and the government is supposed to owe so many back pays in overtime and everything. So I think that if they needed a hoax, they needed like a quiet one, not one that need to raise the security threat level.
It is a good point. They needed something non-political.
And really, this is all about the carbon tax, the gas tax, whatever you want to call it. We have a national carbon tax here, and it's only 4 cents a liter, and it 5 cents a liter, and it doesn't. Hasn't created an uprising here, that's for sure.
I mean, that is, I mean, only the carbon tax is more than the price of gas in Venezuela, you know. That's the only positive point about Venezuela at the moment, but yeah.
If really they actually can supply gas in that country?
No, what I knew is that the gas price was 3 cents a liter.
Is that right?
And it was before all of this. Right now, I haven't been there since.
Mexico.
So.
No. Mexico had Pemex, a state-run.
I know. I worked for Pemex, man.
Of course, but wasn't the deal if Mexico wanted to sell their oil from the Gulf to the world, they had to agree to worldwide rules about distribution of fuel, so they had to take the subsidy off the local fuel and make it a market worldwide set fuel price in order to participate in the world markets. That's what I understood.
That could be. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I know Pemex is really fuel. Pemex is an extremely powerful company, even to U.S. standards. I mean, even
well,
for them,
it's... they have a monopoly on fuel distribution in Mexico.
Yeah, of course.
My point is, though, if they wanted to exploit exploration of oil and distribute it on the world market, they could not continue with their subsidy distribution of fuel within their own country.
Yeah, because the Seven Sisters came in
by the world rules. Yeah. That's my point.
Yeah.
No, you cannot give free gas to people. Almost free gas. I mean, it's clear that there is no way they will let
But then you can't play on the world stage. You cannot. You cannot have bigger markets to exploit.
Yeah.
And that is the definition of globalism, really.
Yeah.
From a business standpoint.
That was a big point in the European Union, as the French government is traditionally subsidizing much more his country worker. How can I say that?
The farm industries,
fishing as well
gets subsidized because it's food. What you want to do is be held hostage to a foreign country or corporation for your food, because that's why food is
subsistence economy.
Well, no, it's definitely a sacred or primary industry, and that's why most countries protect the food for the farmers.
Yeah,
because if someone closed the border to your supply of food, then everyone would starve if you went to war, say, with a neighboring country where you got your food.
Yeah.
I know if we we went to war with California, Canada's entire fruit and vegetables would dry up very quickly. Or the majority of our food comes from California, our fruit and vegetables. So we're beholden to them for a lot of our food.
Yeah, and I think that is, I mean, in conspiracy circles, you always hear people talking about World War III. And I think that is it's not true, because the world has changed since World War II.
Well, it's very integrated. It's integrated.
Yeah. I mean, the World War III, as I see it, is a war on information. It's a war on I mean, international globalist internet.
War.
Yeah, it's an exactly. I mean, it's a little bit of a Bayer-esque Monsanto, spoiled term by Alex Jones, but it's true.
Yeah, well, he took the info war. It is an information war that we're in, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and that's good. I mean, Jerris and me, we talked about it before offline and then online. About this idea that is predominantly an online phenomenon, that if you agree with one point someone says, you are being branded as a supporter of someone, and you embrace everything that person says, which is bullshit. I mean, the three of us here, we disagree on certain points, and we can still talk, right? And it's...
Well... There is no fakeologist official position on anything. The only official thing that we like everyone to agree on is the 9/11 hoax. Can't see that, then you're wasting your time here. But after that, there's no official fakeologist view on anything, really. Definitely, especially some of the topics that are not exactly media fakery. But everyone has an opinion here on just about every topic. And there's no very little consensus, which is fine with me, because actually, if we all sat here and agreed, it would be a very boring situation. Yeah. I just don't think the ad hominem attacks are really required, but some people are snippy in their comments or whatnot, and it's just easier to ignore those people. I let them stand, but some of them look like graffiti when it comes to reading on the blog, but I think we can all agree that it's better to have opposing views, because that creates friction, and friction is interesting to read.
Then I stand up for I still believe in evolution. I think evolution is driven by stress factors, and I think
But that's not really a fakeologist's point of view.
I know. I am the exception. I know that. But if you take it to a more bigger view than just biology, I think this kind of stress effect, adapting, survival of the fittest means like the best fit, not the best, not. I mean, if you have a huge 7-foot guy, 2 meters wide, and has to fit through a door which is small, he is not the best fit guy, but he would beat everyone, beat the shit out of everyone, right? I mean, it's not about that, but this whole concept, I think, is still valid, and it works. Even though, if you may disagree with the biological part of it, then still the concept is real.
In some way, I think it is, but those days it's different. Those days it's more like the first 2 minutes of the movie Idiocracy.
What? Sorry, what movie? Idiocracy. Great movie.
The movie is not that great, but the introduction and the whole basis of it is good, I think.
I agree. It's a bit cheesy, but I mean, the movie could have been better. I agree, but still, as a monumental piece, I think Idiocracy, They Live, The Matrix, Brave New World, 1984. I mean, they are landmarks in our, let's say, community, right?
Yes, yes. I will put Brazil on that list also.
Yeah, true. Yeah. And Dark City, really, as well.
Dark City is great also. Dark City is really great. But then again, you wonder at which point it's done on purpose to orientate some people on some subjects, because it's still financed by the same people that all the other movies, and it's starting the same people, and made by the same companies, you know?
Yeah, but it's revelation of the method, right? I mean, some people have interpreted it as a test. And I think it's quite an interesting idea that we are the spectators and they are the stage craft people, and they put out something as a test for us, the Truman Show spectators, right? To another movie, right? To test us and how we respond. So, of course, we are being monitored as well. And that's fine. I mean,
I'm in Manchester, UK. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.
Oh, there's a golden clip there. Napoleon being sober. Wow. No, sorry.
Yeah, but like you say, it's a revelation of the method. It's kind of like that, but I don't know if everybody is monitored. I think if you get big enough sample of the population, you're good.
I agree.
I don't think you get to spend the time and energy to monitor everything. Now, if there is to be a big spike of people, of new people on Fakeologists, I think there will be an intensifying of the surveillance and maybe even some tentative to orientate the debate. And we talk about that also, about the flat earth, that the fact that it's kind of an overwhelming subject.
Mm. Yeah, no, I agree. I think this everybody is watching us is a strategy as well. I agree with you that certain things are monitored. I mean, there are people, individual people. It's not like a big CIA operation or whatever. But there are certain people who are looking into fakeologist.com or clueforum.com.org or other websites if they get a certain following, right?
That's the big debate of the pay chills.
Yeah, and in that, I'm mostly on the side. Let's say if you have a scale, it's not like black or white, right? But I'm mostly towards what John LeBone is saying, and farther away from what many conspiracy theorists are saying. Yeah, they're after us and they're going to kill us and so. No, I'm not in that camp, I would say.
No, I think like you. I don't think that there maybe that exist a few people that are paid shields, but I think if you kind of develop a big enough audience, you don't even need that much external support if you want.
And the main, if you look at the main weapons, what do they use? The first weapon is ridicule, right? I mean, this is also why this flat earth bullshit came in. It's ridicule. It's making people look stupid. And if that doesn't work, okay, then maybe other factors are in place. And there are paid shields. I mean, there are courses for paid shields, literally. Calito Briganti from Hoaxbuster School has figured it out, and it's really good information, and it's really true. But it isn't the whole main thing, and everybody's after us. I mean, I've posted pictures of where I live and who I am. Nobody has ever knocked on my door. Oh, sorry, now they're knocking on my door. No, you know, it's bullshit, right?
Yes, I have not said that much since I've been doing these audios, but I think I have said enough for somebody intelligent to find me, but I'm not worried about that. I don't think it happened like that, you know? It's like you said, you can ridicule people easily enough without having to directly contact them or having some shady guy waiting for you when you go to work.
No, I before I was waking up, I was in Iran, and then I posted anti-Islamic posts, even on Facebook, you know, I mean, like, mainstream kind of stuff. And nothing happened. this whole idea, yeah, they're watching you, and they're going after you. No, nothing happened at all. And that's not to say that nothing happens. I mean, channels have been taken down on YouTube, and web pages have been made inaccessible. And I mean, that is happening. Right, it's how much are you being led by the fear? I mean, it's George Orwell, right? I mean, war. What's the quote? I don't remember, but it's that people are much more led by their fears than by the event itself. It's a bad description of what he said, but.
Yes, I think people are led by fear. But I'm sorry, I will have to end it now because I'm working in 5 hours.
Okay, man. Hey,
get your beauty sleep.
Thank you very much.
You're loud and clear. Very good with your audio.
Yeah.
I make the extra step to holding the microphone closer.
I
work well.
I will pause for 15 minutes and tryptamine joined, so maybe, App, you can have a good chat with him. And he wanted to talk about, what was it, Trips?
Tryptamine is too busy doing good programming.
Yeah, no, I can't.
I hope I never get on Tryptamine's bad side, because all the bots that live on his server. You want to talk bots, Tryptamine?
I can speak for like 10 minutes.
That's fine. That's fine. I don't need to speak. My voice is going anyway. But what's new on the bot? So you got rid of, the equals bot. I call it the equals bot. It's easier to describe. So that you took the play out, so people have to search to find the audio. Otherwise, it'll just find some random thing, which there's no way someone's gonna match. No way.
Yeah. It's basically the same thing, play and search, so I just removed it.
It's almost worth removing from all the bots, because I don't think people realize that the search is much more powerful than just trying to play whatever YouTube gives you. Even though most of the time YouTube does give the right audio, I guess that's a powerful thing with YouTube.
Well, technically play is the same thing as search. What I do is,
yes,
when you type play, it picks the first result from the
yes.
search.
And that's
so
usually the right...
Command.
Yeah, yes. That's true. That's true. And YouTube is usually... The number one search result is usually what people want. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. YouTube's human editors and computer search results are pretty good. That's the whole reason why... Giggle went to number one in terms of searches. I've been using searches ever since the web, and before Giggle, the searches were all over the place. Really hard to find. It was really hard to find stuff online. Really hard to find it.
I don't even remember the internet without Google.
Yeah, you're too young, but I got smart early. There was a, it's still there. It's a bot called Metacrawler. And it sent the search results to up to 10 or 20 different search engines and matched them up. And whichever one was on top of those search engines was listed. And it was usually pretty good. But again, those different search engines like AltaVista, Excite, Yahoo, they weren't too consistent with finding information. They were good, but Giggle made it, so it was very fast, very good results, and I guess that was just because they had thousands upon thousands of what they said were PCs, daisy-chained together, constantly crawling the net. I guess the resources come from crawling the net all over the place, all day long, and trying to assemble those results.
Yeah, and it also comes from what they know about you, their history of searches and all that. That's mainly how accurate the results come from. What you,
okay.
you know, your search history and all that. You know, Google gathers a lot of information on you, so that's basically how the results are so accurate and targeted towards you.
Yeah, and some people would say that's a good thing.
Maybe.
I don't want to waste time looking at stuff I don't want to, I'm not interested in.
Well,
so it's easy to.
About I don't know, a year ago or something, I went through all the settings on all my Google accounts and all that, and I just disabled everything that had to do with collecting data and privacy and all that, but I'm sure they still collect something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you would have to have some kind of gateway on your router to go through everything that gets sent back to Google. That would be very tricky to monitor, I guess, on your own end.
Yeah.
Especially if you use mobile data, then, of course, there's no way you could figure out. Well, I guess you could install an app on your phone or something, but who's got time for that? Yeah, when the product is free, when the service is free, the product is you and your information.
Yeah.
And that is definitely Giggle's main business, information gathering and selling it.
Well, Discord can do it too, you know.
Oh, sure.
They even have it in the privacy terms. They say that they have the right to do whatever they want with the data. So they're probably selling it. And there's also a thing, the CEO of Discord, he had his previous app was sued for leaking data and selling it to ad companies. The current CEO of Discord was sued for his previous app for selling data. So I'm sure he's doing the same thing.
Yes. Well, yeah, because he has to be making money somehow. And I don't think he's selling too many premium Discord memberships where you don't really get anything. Yeah, I wonder why Discord doesn't have a quote feature like WhatsApp. Because when you're trying to reply to someone in a huge thread, there's no way the person can remember what you're talking about if the thread just keeps flying by. I'm baffled why they don't have a quote feature. It can't be that hard to do unless they just don't want that much redundant
or you said what's the app you said? You said Discord doesn't have a quote feature.
A quote feature. For instance, say you feature.
I know what you mean, but you said you said like something. I didn't
like WhatsApp. WhatsApp has quote. WhatsApp.
Oh, WhatsApp. Oh. Okay.
I don't use WhatsApp.
Not well. I've used it before, but I don't use it right now.
Oh, WhatsApp is huge. It's huge. It's the number one.
I think Facebook owns it. Yeah.
Yeah, they bought it. They took it over.
Yeah.
Anyway, what did you say?
I mean, give me an example of what you want the quote feature to
Okay,
do.
Well, if so, I say tryptamine, if I ask you, how much is that doggy in the window, and you're not there, and I leave it in a general chat forum, and then you answer me back and say 50 a day later. And I'll say, well, what are you talking about, 50? I don't know what you're referring to because I don't remember the original question because it scrolled off the screen hundreds of lines ago. So if you can quote my question by highlighting it and clicking a button and therefore making a reference to what the reply is about, you see?
Oh, see... So the thing, you don't want to copy-paste it, right? Copy-paste it.
Well, it is copy-paste. It's copy-paste as a quote. Yeah, you're copying and pasting a previous message and replying to it, and it'll show up as a quote. So you know, oh, that's what he's talking about. He's replying to this particular message.
Yeah.
That way, it's just a way of bringing in the last message in the conversation that might be broken up by other conversations from other people. Therefore, you can't remember if you're talking to a lot of different people what you were even talking about. So the person is just bringing in a quote. It's a quote, just like the quote feature in bulletin board software, forum software.
Yeah. So, well, basically, you can't, like, you can have, because if you want, like, you want to right-click on a message and then click quote or something, you have...
Yeah. Yes.
Well, like, a developer can't do that because you have to actually modify Discord app.
You know? Yeah, I figured.
You can't... Like,
yeah, I figured.
You have to actually modify the program to make it do that. And it's... Well, you basically can, but the next update is going to go away because Discord doesn't allow any of that. But, like, if you want to... There is another way I can do it, but it's also not going to work. Because there's a thing called self-bots. Like, I can make my account like it's a bot. So I can send embeds like the one you see in the comments right now. I can send whatever I want like that. I can set event listeners or whatever. So I can make a function that can do that. So I just type quote fakeologist or whatever, and I just type a part of the message or whatever, and the self-bot searches for that message, and it sends an embed of that quote or something like that. But if I want to do that, I need to have a self-bot, and I need to make it. So, yeah, you know what I mean? So
yeah, you would have to have a bot for quoting. It would just be a quote bot, yeah.
Yeah, so... I won't
and you be, could yeah. and you could put that in the Discord repository, and I guarantee people would use it. I don't know why the heck no one has done it. I don't know why that people have been asking Discord to do it for years. If you look in the forums, I don't know why they're not doing it, because it's a very high priority feature. It can't be that hard.
I don't know.
But there must be a reason.
I don't think it's that hard.
Yeah, I don't
know. I mean, I can do, it's not that hard, but for them to do it, they're not going to do it like that. They're going to make it, you know, more...
it's going to be a built-in feature.
Efficient, yeah.
That's a minor thing. It's a minor thing, like all these things don't change the world. Most people, maybe. Mm-hmm. It's not a big deal. Obviously, if you just do cut and paste, you could do it too, but it's really hard to do on a phone.
Oh, yeah.
Cut and paste doesn't work well on a phone. Too clumsy.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. I don't use
it. Anyway. But lots of people are making use of your bots. Are you happy? Getting lots of new audio coming up because they're using the bots.
Yeah, it's fun. Help.
Yeah, I think people are making good use of it. A little too much music because. I knew that would happen, though. People love to play their music.
Yeah, I was hoping.
Okay, let's get back to the live thing. So, if you want to find a live YouTube channel, how do you find it again, or how do you play it again?
You just need to type "live" at the end of whatever you're writing. I put it that you need to write the word "live" at the end. If you type the word "live" at the end, it only searches for live. Or live channels.
Oh, so it has to be at the very end of the search.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it plays normally, just but in live, you probably know this. In YouTube, you can't pause live videos, right?
Okay. Right. Okay.
So pause won't work for live.
Yeah, I can imagine.
For live channels. Pause and resume.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Have you ever questioned the nature of your reality?
All the time. Okay, it's alive. All right. So if a YouTuber like Brian Stavely goes live, I could just type in the URL, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, it wouldn't have worked before I added, before you asked me to add the live, but now it will work, yeah, if you type just the URL.
Oh, if you just type in the URL of a live event, it'll play now.
Yeah, now it will play. Because it's tricky when before I added the, before I modified it to play live, see, if you play a live URL, it will only play 2 seconds and it will stop.
It's, oh, okay.
There was a problem in, well, it's always a problem on Discord side, so I had to do some changes.
Okay.
The difference
is
between a live video and already completed, you know, video.
Yes, I can imagine.
Doesn't play them the same way. But it's fun, yeah, it's fun to, because I love JavaScript, so I'm having
fun. Oh, yeah? This is all written in JavaScript? All this is Java?
Yeah, it's in Node.js. It's like a different type of servers, newer. Like WordPress uses Apache, so that's the one you're familiar with, right?
Yeah.
Apache. So I'm using a different type of service called Node.js. It has JavaScript as in the server side. It's the,
all right.
It's basically the newer type of servers.
No, it's an N-O?
What? I didn't hear
you. How do you spell no? N-O or K-N-O-W?
No, I said Node. Node.
N-O-D-E. Oh, okay, Node.
Yeah.
Whose software is that?
Well, it was made in 2013 or something like that. I don't remember who made it, but yeah, it's a young guy. He's American. Yeah.
It's an American company?
It's an American guy who made it.
Oh, one guy made the software for servers?
For a server called No, yeah. He's the one that made it. But now I think it's open source, so a lot of people are working on it right now. But he was the one that invented it.
Oh, wow.
One guy, yeah.
And it's better than Apache?
Yeah, it's, well, for some things, because it's its logic is different. It works in a different way. Like, for example, for servers that work with a lot of requests, like Google, for example, would work with Node.js. It already migrated to Node.js, actually, Google. Because what's the word? Anyway, it works with a lot of requests. A lot of people send a lot of requests during the day. Like a request is whatever query, like a search, a YouTube video,
yes.
Playing a YouTube video, whatever. Like, there's a lot of requests that the servers usually can't handle it. Node.js has what you call a losing words. Right, hold on.
Node.js can handle the millions of requests, so I got it.
I can't think of the word right now, but yeah, that's it. Oh yeah, it's load balancing. It balances
load balance
between threads. Yeah, like if because it works, it's multi-threaded. Like it handles a lot of requests at the same time. So. If one thread is, it's basically, it's like imagine a highway. If one line is very crowded, cars move to the other lines and it goes on.
Yeah.
That's what load balancing means.
Yeah, it distributes the load evenly.
Yeah.
Across the server, the processor. I don't have to imagine a big highway because I'm on one right now.
How many lines?
There's 5, and people are balancing their way. They're balancing their loads right now in front of me, especially when we come to a junction. A lot of rebalancing right now because people are rerouting. They're rerouting based on the final destination. So.
Yeah. By the way, do you guys pay for the highway, or is it free?
No, most of our highways are free. We have... Any new highway ends up being a toll road because there's apparently no money to build them. So the newest highways are all tolled.
So it's all free, right?
It's all paid by our taxes, yes.
Oh.
But there are many. There's a major, major, the world's first electronic toll road is here in Toronto. There's no toll booth. Everything is with a transponder.
Yeah, I have no idea what you just said.
Well, a transponder is a transmitter in your car. It transmits the ID of the car. And every on and off ramp has a gantry that reads the transponder.
Yeah, we do have that too, but we have to actually stop for it to read it.
No, we don't have to do that. They're usually on. No, you don't have to slow down. They have a gantry. Even at full speed, it can read it. So 100 kilometers, and I know people go a lot faster than that, and it reads it.
I did 250.
Sure. And if it doesn't pick it up, it has a video camera. It's videoing everybody, so they'll use the video camera to find out what car went through and send you a much bigger bill if you don't have a transponder, because that probably takes some human intervention to figure out who doesn't have one.
Yeah. But you have a Malaysia Airlines truck?
No, we're talking about toll roads.
Okay. How much do you pay for toll there, for like normal toll?
Well, our toll road, our big toll road is divided up into different congestion sections. So the busiest sections are the highest tolls, and they're some of the highest tolls in the world. It could be up to 40 cents a kilometer.
Okay, per kilometer. I think here it's like 15 Canadian dollars per stretch of like 200 kilometers.
Yeah, that's definitely more in line with an American tolls are really cheap. They're almost so cheap it's hard to believe they even make any money. But here, the toll road here is definitely, it's crazy expensive.
Oh, wow.
For a big truck, it's $1.20 a kilometer. It's crazy.
What? These are truck prices. I mean, for a car, it's way cheaper, but these are truck prices I saw. So for like three or four excess trucks, it's like this.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. They built our toll road with $1,997 dollars. That's already, what, 20 years old now?
Yeah.
Back 20 years ago, I don't know how much it cost to build a concrete highway per kilometer, but it's got to be tens of millions of dollars. There's a big, big capital outlay.
Probably the real cost, it's like one-fifth of that, but yeah.
Well, they had to acquire land. It was an all-crown land, so they had to pay out a lot of private land and expropriation and all that, so...
But isn't that the state who does that and the private company just builds the road?
No, well, what happened was it's the state that built it. No, the state that owns it, the land, most of it's crown land, I suppose. And they sold the right to operate it on a 99-year lease here. And they had an auction. And apparently they only raised $4 billion to operate the highway for 99 years. So that private corporation can charge whatever toll it wants as long as they keep the road moving.
Yeah.
So they can keep raising the rates every year. I don't know if there's even a cap. And as long as the road keeps moving. So the busier it gets, the higher the rates go year after year. And their excuse is, well, the market is, obviously, the highway is moving, even in the most congested areas at all times, so the rates are fair.
Same thing here. Same how it happens here.
Yeah, it's a worldwide thing.
No.
And now a company allegedly in Canada just sold, an engineering firm, sold a 10% stake that they had from the beginning, and they sold it for, I think, $10 billion. A 10% stake. So now the highway is allegedly worth about $40 billion if they wanted to sell the lease. Because they don't own the highway. They own the right to operate it and collect tolls and make a profit.
Yeah.
most people here that don't like the idea of a private corporation owning it, they really don't understand how it works. It's complicated. It's not, they don't own the highway. They don't own the land under the highway. They just own the right to operate it.
It's a lease. Lease situation.
It's a lease.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same thing in France, I know, and in Spain. In Holland, you don't have tollways, but yeah, same thing here as well. I mean, it's all Spanish laws here, even before there were highways, but it's the same operation, yeah.
Well, the irony is that the engineering firm, the toll company, the highway operating company, I can't remember the name of it, it's a Spanish company, and I wanted to buy shares in it, but I don't have access to the Spanish stock market from my account, so... couldn't buy into it because I pay a lot of tolls, so I wanted to try and benefit it somehow. But ironically, Canadian public pensions were privatized, so corporation manages my Canadian pension, and they're 40% shareholders in this highway, which just proves the thing is a gold mine.
Yeah, exactly, and it's global. I mean, we here... Both the electric company and the gas company were just acquired by Canadian companies.
Well, if you think about it, some of the best
Canadian. Sorry.
Some of the best companies to own, if you're an investor, are utilities because people need the service or the product every month. It's the best type of product. You always need gas. You always need. What better business could you be in? Something that everyone needs every month, and they can never have. And they always need it. Those are utilities, and that's.
Yeah, and as a social engineering, from a social engineering perspective, when I was still talking to these people on the Dutch forum, that was one of the reasons why the Dutch. Were saying, yeah, no, we need socialism, government type of stuff because of this, because of the utility companies. Of course, it's the same fraud, but then a different hat on, right? I mean, but that was one of the reasons, the utility companies.
The thing is, there's fraud in public and fraud in private. And public fraud has no competition. So if someone is... running a fraud in a public corporation, there's really no competition, and it might be worse. So when it's a private corporation, you can throw them out and bring in another private corporation. So in a way, it's better that it's privatized, because there's at least competition for the fraud.
Indeed, it's less bad. I mean, the public companies, so-called public companies, I mean, the state has the army to back them up, and the police. But a private organization needs to contract or hire or whatever, outsource a violent force to back them up, right?
Yeah, it's interesting. There's no perfect system. There really isn't. They both have their advantages and disadvantages to who is controlling the money. The great thing about humans are so innovative when it comes to stealing and saving money. They're very good. They're very fast. They're like water. They always find the path of least resistance and highest profit.
Mm-hmm.
You can never doubt human innovation to making money or saving or stealing money.
Yeah, true.
But this is not fakeology. This is just life.
Well, I mean... I think it's a big part of fakeology as well. The money system.
Well, we live in the money system.
It's on the top of the pyramid. It's
the best system for making things happen that they ever invented. And the people on the top of fakeology are the people that control the money system because it is the absolute top of the pyramid for making things happen in humanity. Nothing else motivates people. More than fear and money. Yeah. Whoever controls all the marbles has got to be the one that is directing this whole society.
Yes.
It has to be. It's just It's just the way it is. There's and it's not one group. I guarantee there's many competing groups. There's
A
lot of them. There's so many at the top. They all want a piece of it. It's just so much. It's so big. And I think that the intelligence agencies are their tools, because intelligence agencies are a part of the state. They don't get reelected. They don't get flushed out every election. So it's a very stable force. It doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ideal part of the state to compromise and control. Forget the politicians. They're just the theater part of it. They don't stay long enough to matter.
And the funny thing is that even the mainstream admits that in their efforts, in shows like Game of Thrones. I watched Game of Thrones like for the first four seasons, and then I stopped watching it. But you see it there happening. It's the eunuch and the other guy who are controlling the so-called rulers. It's not the rulers themselves.
No, I haven't watched it. I know everyone's watching it. I guess I might have to break down and watch it. I know the entire world is watching it, and I guess it's one of the most popular shows in the world.
Yeah, well, I just brought it up as an example, because I've seen it in more shows and more movies and all that.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
And thank you, DB User, for... I can't remember if he told me not to use his name, but he was made a nice donation, a retroactive donation, and, of course, a monthly donation. So thank you, DB User. Fantastic.
Yeah, I had a couple of encounters with him on the blog, but I asked him, please join the chat, but he said he didn't want to, or he didn't do that. Okay, fine.
Yeah. Not everyone wants to talk. We have to respect it. Not everyone wants their voice out there. Like I said, you and if the people that come here to do talking and risk your reputation and risk your point of view are a very small minority in the whole scheme of things. So it's count yourself as extraordinarily unique.
Yeah, well, I think you have. I mean, you provide a platform where people can speak up. I mean, that's the reason why Laura Morris joined. And many other people, because in the end, even online, I mean, we can find blogs, and we can find forums, and we can find Facebook groups even, right? But that is text chat. It's always different from voice chat. And we can have
chat
there. And that is unique, you know? And I'm a positive, optimistic person, and I think there are so many people out there who want this. Even if they have never heard of it, they still are there.
And we
can go like, yeah, it's a lost cause, and 95% of the people believe the mainstream is... Yeah, okay, we can indulge yourself in that kind of mood, it's not like that. And if you talk to people, okay, of course, not the average customer of Walmart, as Mark Tukarski put it. After our chat, I suggested, hey, Mark, shall we do a Apollo effort to wake people up? I didn't even call it that way, but yeah, I like it. And he was, yeah, no, I've been to Walmart. I don't have any idea. I don't have any illusion that I will wake people up. I don't have any illusion either. It's not about that. It's not about being
like a, it's not that kind of effort. It's not like we want to preach or we want to, it's not like that, right? It's just getting people in to talk about these things. And you can talk to real life people, right? I mean, like you, with you had with your other trucker guy, okay, he tried to get you into Orthodox Christian view, yeah. But still, yeah. I mean, if you just pose a normal question, hey, did you see X event, and what are your thoughts about that? I mean, they're not going to attack you or so, I mean, they're not going to run away, right? I mean, it's...
Oh, yeah. Well, he was talking conspiracy with me. We were talking about conspiracy a little bit. And I gave him a little interest. You know, you can't just preach to the guy. And then he launched into his born-again thing, and my eyes just started rolling around. I tried to be polite about it, but there's no way I'm going to his church. Just like there's maybe no way he'll come to the Fakeology church. So that's fine. He's the same age as me, even had the same name as me, which is strange.
Oh, okay.
And he also was an identical twin, which was shocking to me. And then he said there's another set of identical twins within his same family. I thought, wow, I could talk to this guy for ages about that, because that's a one. Mm-hmm. He said it's a 1 in 6 million chance that a family has two sets of identical twins. And anyway. He told me the intelligence agencies never contacted him. But someone did try and study his family.
Okay.
At the university. Because it's fascinating to me. But anyway, the point is, I'm not interested in his church. It's too late for me. I'm not going to be born again in any way. And he might not want to talk fakeology, which is fine. We don't have a church. We just have this virtual meeting place, which is the same thing virtually, and that's why we come here.
Yeah, and without being religious, I mean, I'm not religious myself, but gathering around a certain theme, a certain idea, is what
it's
religion
great.
Is based on too, right? And there's nothing wrong with that, right?
Yes, everyone believes in Jesus Christ in his church, which is great. Enjoy it. I can't buy any of the story. I don't believe any of the stories. And he knows all the stories. He said he read the Bible 8 times. I said, fantastic. I can't even understand half the things you're saying because I've never read it. I know Frank is going to go nuts. And now it's Saul because he loves the Bible, which is fantastic. Read it every night. But and gather with people that like to read it. That's what humanity is all about, sharing common interests. And that's what makes it interesting and tolerable. Get through life.
And that is also the point, talking about the bigger conspiracy world, why they want to create divisions amongst us. Because it's not normal, right? My food is coming, so I will mute for a sec.
Yeah, I've only got one more minute yet. But I heard there's 3,000 different Christian churches in the United States. That means there's 3,000 different views on Jesus Christ and the story. That's an amazing number of divisions right there. So how the heck could fakeology people all have a similar view? You know, we have one central thesis. Media fakery and fakery in general, but there's no way we could agree on every single topic. But we have enough to agree on to convene all the time. And on that note, I am going to sign off. Have a great night, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow. This audio chat seems to go every single day now, which is fantastic. Keep up the great audios, everyone. Thank you for participating.
But in the bullshit department, a businessman can't hold a candle to a clergyman. Because I got to tell you the truth, folks. I got to tell you the truth. When it comes to bullshit, big time, major league bullshit, you have to stand in awe. In awe of the all-time champion of false promises and exaggerated claims, religion. No contest. No contest.
Religion easily has the greatest bullshit story ever told. Think about it. Religion has actually convinced people that there's an invisible man living in the sky who watches everything you do every minute of every day. And the invisible man has a special list of 10 things he does not want you to do. And if you do any of these 10 things, he has a special place full of fire and smoke and burning and torture and anguish where he will send you to live and suffer and burn and choke and scream and cry forever and ever till the end of time. But he loves you. He loves you, and he needs money. He always needs money. He's all-powerful, all-perfect, all-knowing, and all-wise. Somehow, just can't handle money. Religion takes in billions of dollars. They pay no taxes, and they always need a little more. Now, you talk about a good bullshit story. Holy shit. Thank you very much. But I want you to know something. This is sincere. I want you to know, when it comes to believing in God, I really tried. I really, really tried. I tried to believe that there is a God who created each of us in his own image and likeness, loves us very much, and keeps a close eye on things. I really tried to believe that, but I got to tell you, the longer you live, the more you look around, the more you realize something is fucked up. Something is wrong here. War, disease, death, destruction, hunger, filth, poverty, torture, crime, corruption, and the ice capades. Something is definitely wrong. This is not good work. If this is the best God can do, I am not impressed. Results like these do not belong on the resume of a supreme being. This is the kind of shit you'd expect from an office temp with a bad attitude. And just between you and me, in any decently run universe, this guy would have been out on his all-powerful ass a long time ago. By the way, I say this guy because I firmly believe, looking at these results, that if there is a God, it has to be a man. No woman could or would ever fuck things up like this. If there is a God, if there is, I think most reasonable people might agree that he's at least incompetent and maybe, just maybe, doesn't give a shit. Doesn't give a shit, which I admire in a person and which would explain a lot of these bad results. So rather than be just another mindless religious robot, mindlessly and aimlessly and blindly believing that all of this is in the hands of some spooky, incompetent father figure who doesn't give a shit, I decided to look around for something else to worship. Something I could really count on. And immediately, I thought of the sun. Happened like that. Overnight, I became a sun worshiper. Well, not overnight. You can't see the sun at night. First thing the next morning, I became a sun worshiper. Several reasons. First of all, I can see the sun.
Okay.
Yeah. Unlike some other gods I could mention, I can actually see the sun. I'm big on that. If I can see something, I don't know, kind of helps the credibility along, you know? So every day I can see the sun as it gives me everything I need. Heat, light, food, flowers in the park, reflections on the lake. An occasional skin cancer, but hey, at least there are no crucifixions, and we're not setting people on fire simply because they don't agree with us. Sun worship is fairly simple. There's no mystery, no miracles, no pageantry, no one asks for money, there are no songs to learn, and we don't have a special building where we all gather once a week to compare clothing. And the best thing about the sun, it never tells me I'm unworthy. Doesn't tell me I'm a bad person who needs to be saved. Hasn't said an unkind word. Treats me fine. So, I worship the sun. But I don't pray to the sun. Know why? I wouldn't presume on our friendship. It's not polite.
I've often thought people treat God rather rudely, don't you? Asking trillions and trillions of prayers every day, asking and pleading and begging for favors, do this, give me that, I need a new car, I want a better job. And most of this praying takes place on Sunday, his day off. It's not nice, and it's no way to treat a friend. But people do pray, and they pray for a lot of different things. You know, your sister needs an operation on her crotch. Your brother was arrested for defecating in a mall. But most of all, you'd really like to fuck that hot little redhead down at the convenience store. You know, the one with the eye patch and the club foot. Huh? Can you pray for that? I think you'd have to. And I say, fine, pray for anything you want. Pray for anything. But what about the divine plan? Remember that? The divine plan. Long time ago, God made a divine plan. Gave it a lot of thought, decided it was a good plan, put it into practice. And for billions and billions of years, the divine plan has been doing just fine. Now you come along and pray for something. Well, suppose the thing you want isn't in God's divine plan. What do you want him to do? Change his plan? Just for you? Doesn't it seem a little arrogant? It's a divine plan. What's the use of being God if every rundown schmuck with a $2 prayer book can come along and fuck up your plan? And here's something else, another problem you might have. Suppose your prayers aren't answered. What do you say? Well, it's God's will. Thy will be done. Fine. But if it's God's will and he's going to do what he wants to anyway, why the fuck bother praying in the first place? Seems like a big waste of time to me. Couldn't you just skip the praying part and go right to his will? It's all very confusing. So to get around a lot of this, I decided to worship the sun. But, as I said, I don't pray to the sun. You know who I pray to? Joe Pesci. Joe Pesci. Joe Pesci. Two reasons. First of all, I think he's a good actor, okay? To me, that counts. Second, he looks like a guy who can get things done. Joe Pesci doesn't fuck around. Doesn't fuck around. In fact, Joe Pesci came through on a couple of things that God was having trouble with. For years, I asked God to do something about my noisy neighbor with the barking dog. Joe Pesci straightened that cocksucker out with one visit. It's amazing what you can accomplish with a simple baseball bat. So I've been praying to Joe for about a year now. And I noticed something. I noticed that all the prayers I used to offer to God and all the prayers I now offer to Joe Pesci are being answered at about the same 50% rate. Half the time I get what I want, half the time I don't. Same as God, 50-50. Same as the four-leaf clover and the horseshoe, the wishing well and the rabbit's foot. Same as the mojo man. Same as the voodoo lady who tells you your fortune by squeezing the goat's testicles. It's all the same, 50-50. So just pick your superstition, sit back, make a wish, and enjoy yourself. And for those of you who look to the Bible for moral lessons and literary qualities, I might suggest a couple of other stories for you. You might want to look at The Three Little Pigs. That's a good one. Has a nice, happy ending. I'm sure you'll like that. Then there's Little Red Riding Hood, although it does have that X-rated part where the big bad wolf actually eats the grandmother, which I didn't care for, by the way. And finally, I've often always drawn a great deal of moral comfort from Humpty Dumpty. The part I like the best, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. That's because there is no Humpty Dumpty and there is no God. None, not one, no God, never was. In fact, I'm gonna put it this way. If there is a God, if there is a God, may he strike this audience dead. See, nothing happened. Nothing happened. Everybody's okay. All right? Tell you what. I'll raise the stakes a little bit. If there is a God, may he strike me dead. See? Nothing happened. Oh, wait. Got a little cramp in my leg. And my balls hurt. Plus, I'm blind. Oh, now I'm okay again. Must have been Joe Pesci, huh? God bless Joe Pesci. Thank you all very much. Joe bless you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com. Exposing media fakery one psyop at a time.
Yes, I'm going to sing, and then you'll repeat after me. I'll give a few examples. I'll sing, for instance,
baseball bat.
Yes.
Obviously a sports fan. Baseball bat, baseball bat. After a tsunami, all the furniture is wet. Baseball bat, baseball bat. After a tsunami, all the furniture was wet. Seafood plate, seafood plate. Daddy wrote a poem for a chicken that she ate. Seafood plate, seafood plate. Daddy wrote a poem for a chicken that she ate. Birthday cake, birthday cake. Peace negotiations at the bottom of a lake. Birthday cake, birthday cake. Peace negotiations at the bottom of a lake. Okay, you've got the drill, okay? Here we go. Chestnut tree, chestnut tree. Look, I've got a dying little monkey on my knee.
Yeah, that was, of course, the famous Hans Steven. And I was just asking the Phoenician who is in class at university at this moment, probably somewhere in Australia or so, but he doesn't want to join. Why? I mean, this is a great, we can talk in the class. I mean, he's not listening in either. Get him on, man. I mean, speaker, let's do it. He saves himself the effort of actually going through the material. So it's a win-win. But apparently most people are not so creative about things. Even though I had these kind of experiences myself as a teacher. Great, when students want to speak up, let them speak up. I mean, let them do the work, it's great. But, yeah, apparently people are indoctrinated and conditioned into certain narratives, so no, too scary, let's not do that. Oh, okay. Now we'll play another clip. Let's look at a nice... nice, good one. One day and on seven. He is a good comedian. Yes. There's lots of Hans Steven in English, or in Dutch, but not so much in English. Let's do this one.
It's too big. That's fine.
Yes. Yeah. It's his fate here, I guess. You know, we don't decide what's happening, and you know, it's not up to us. You know, this is, you know, it's all up to him, the Holy Father, God, the Holy Father in heaven above. He decides, he calls the shots. Everything that ever happened, everything that ever will happen, and everything that's happening right now is due to him. It's part of his plan. He's got a plan. It's a huge, rather complicated plan. And we humans, you know, we're nothing. We're too insignificant to understand the scale of this plan and the meaning of this plan. But the good thing is, when we die, we'll go up to heaven, and all will be explained. No! And I'm so glad, because one day I'm going to die. Yes! And then I'll go up to heaven, because I have a lot of questions, I'll go and look for God, and I'll ask someone, I'll say, hey, where's God? Hey, where's God? What? Yeah, what, there? Okay, thanks. What? Oh, yeah. Well, and I'll meet God, and I'll be, hi, well, hello there. Well, God, hello. Well, first of all, thanks for a wonderful experience, this whole life thing, and it was marvelous. But I do have a few questions. Please explain to me, why was this necessary? All this, like all this pain and this suffering, and you know, diseases and disasters and war and torture and rape and cancer and AIDS and genocide and the Holocaust. Why, God? Why? Well, he'll explain. He'll say, well, you know, it's because of this, that, and such and such. And I'll go, oh, well, that makes perfect sense. Thanks for clearing that up. Wasn't so bad after all, then, was it? Oh, good. Well, once again, thanks. And I was like, hey, where are you doing? What are you doing? I beg your pardon? Do I want to see what? Little God? What? No, please don't show. Oh, God. What? Oh, why are you? What? Why? You want me? No, please don't ask me that. No, please don't ask me that. No, please, no. Yes, I know you're in charge. I know, I don't want to go there. No, it's hot, I know. But please don't make, oh, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I would sincerely like to apologize for what's going to happen now. But as you can see, I'm trapped in a corner. I have no choice. So I hope you won't be too offended and you'll forgive me. Damn it. I'm so embarrassed.
Just for the listeners, he's giving a hand job to God at this moment, live on stage in London.
Oh, I mean, if my parents are going to hear this, oh my God. Oh, I mean, I'm a guest in this country, and look what I'm doing. Giving God a hand job. I'm so sorry. But please, don't be too offended. I mean, bear in mind that this is just an imaginary God. We can't see him, so we're not sure if he's really there. You know, and if I have modeled him after someone, it's probably the Christian God. This is definitely not Allah. No. I'd rather face outrage than bullets. You know, and you know, That's pretty quick for a supreme being.
Just lie down.
No, really, you know, I don't want to offend anyone. Because I think it's very, very important to respect other people's beliefs. It's although, I think it's probably even more important to, you know, call stupidity by its name.
You've been fantastic, and I hope you enjoyed it. There is a point. Is there a point to all this? Let's find a point. Is there a point to my act? I would say there is. I have to. The world is like a ride at an amusement park. And when you choose to go on it, you think it's real, because that's how powerful our minds are. And the ride goes up and down and round. It has thrills and chills, and it's very brightly colored, and it's very loud. And it's fun for a while. Some people have been on the ride for a long time, and they begin to question, is this real, or is it just a ride? And other people have remembered, and they come back to us, and they say, hey, don't worry, don't be afraid, ever, because this is just a ride. And we kill those people.
Shut him up.
We have a lot invested in this ride. Shut him up. Look at my furrows of worry. Look at my big bank account and my family. This has to be real. It's just a ride. But we always kill those good guys who try and tell us that. You ever notice that? And let the demons run amok. But it doesn't matter, because it's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. Only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace. Thank you very much. You've been great. I hope you enjoyed it. London, you're fantastic. Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's all, folks.